And we need your help on something. It's a scientific survey, so we're not going to tell you what it is, but we would like you to call 1-800-520-1067 so you can cast a vote and help us decide something.
1-800- we're looking for jurors, basically.
Right. 1-800-520-1067. Call now. We'll do our scientific survey next.
Hilarious comedian Brian Callen in studio with us in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Very much looking forward to that. And keep listening to the show for your chance to win tickets for 30 Seconds to Mars and maybe a chance to see them in San Francisco as well. That's all coming up. Hey, listen, I know we have the scientific survey standing by. We have callers on the line. But do you mind if we do something real quick?
Sure.
But ahead of that, let's bring up the satellite. I think Beer Mug is joining us on location in Australia right now. We need an update on a story that I have been following. Mugs, are you there, sir?
Aye, good eye, Kevin and Bain.
and where are you right now, Beer Mug?
We are at the Goat Island Lodge just south of the Adelaide River, where Casey the Crocodile and Pippa are having a blast here with owner Kai Hansen.
Now, what is the deal? Pippa has some sort of a trick that she runs back and forth to the water and, like, kind of taunts the crocodile a little bit?
It's quite adorable, actually. For 10 years now, Pippa has been chasing Casey the Crocodile around. The minute that Casey gets out of the water, Pippa just jumps right at him, and Casey gets like a scared little croc and goes right back into the river.
And how does Pippa seem today? I understand that Pippa's getting ready to try it one more time.
Pippa's crawling out. Oh, here comes Pippa right now.
Oh, great.
What an adorable little terrier.
All right.
And here's Casey the croc, and here comes Pippa. And Pippa is running up to Casey. Casey seems to be staring at Pippa, something that the guest... Oh, look, everybody's having a great time. Oh, no! Oh, no!
Oh, no!
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 Oh, are you kidding me? It didn't work out for Pippa Mugs?
That's a wrap on Pippa.
All right, thank you. Nice to hear from you all the way in Australia. So I was hoping, man, the first thing I thought when I woke up this morning is I hope Pippa makes it today.
Sure.
But it didn't look like it was her day. Sorry to say.
That's a shame.
All right, here's the deal. Since we brought you this story on Animal Stories a couple of weeks ago, we've been having some fun with Pippa versus Casey. But, Allie, would you say it's fair to say that not all of our listeners have enjoyed it as much as we have?
Yeah, some are very upset.
I mean, the dog does get eaten by the crocodile.
Yeah, and the dog was a dick. But
and the owners were a dick.
The owners made that dog do it.
Yeah.
I wish the owners got eaten.
I don't think the owners made the dog do it as much as let the dog do it.
Okay, fine.
Okay. But Pippa got away with it for 10 years.
Right?
She kind of had
Let's
it
look
coming.
At it that way. 10 years of good life.
Had a good run.
She did. She kind of But there are people, and look, I am very much an animal lover. Very much so. And I never in a million years would want to see anything bad happen to a dog.
Except for Pippa.
But it is hilarious. In this case.
That's why it's so shocking. You of all people would get, if Kevin found this clip,
yes,
I
yes.
feel like you would be the first one to be like, this isn't okay,
yes,
guys.
I would play it and it would drive him crazy.
Right.
But the tape is so funny because
the tape
everybody's
is so, funny.
So excited.
But
so
you're on my side now.
Oh, now that scares me.
Right?
This is what, because we heard from people, I mean, some regular listeners who contribute all the time, they write in and say, look, I've been listening to your show for decades, but I just can't anymore if you're going to play Pippa. That made me start to think that, hey, there may be some people out there who this is just too traumatic, too painful, too mean. So maybe we needed to do a scientific survey on this, leave this up to the listeners to help us, guide us on whether we still play the Pippa tape.
So we just take votes and our listeners decide.
That's right.
Okay.
And by the way, the topic is dead once we do a scientific survey. That's how we've always operated.
Exactly. It's law. It's law.
We abide by it. So let's get to some calls on this scientific survey.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
Some good production right there.
Okay. just got this text in, by the way. If you guys play Poor Pippa Dying every goddamn day, I'll never listen again. Swear to God, Bean, if you play the Pippa clip one more time, I'm going to take you to Australia and throw you to Casey the Crocodile. I can't take it
All
anymore.
Right. Let me ask you a question, though.
Yeah.
To make sure that the voters know what they're voting on,
mm-hmm.
we should play it for each one.
Oh,
am
my
I right,
God.
So just to make sure they know the whole issue.
I think they just heard it while they were on hold.
Come on, man.
All right, let's take our first call. and see. I'm nervous. I'm a little bit nervous because on the one hand, I love the Pippa clip and I want to play it. But on the other hand, I don't want to do something if it's driving listeners away or making people uncomfortable listening to our show.
Since when did that become your position? All right, Karen, good morning.
Good morning. Hi. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you and thank you. Okay, so what do you feel?
Definitely keep playing it, only because the first time was so traumatic, but the second time made me so happy. You keep playing it, like, people will turn around, I swear to God.
Okay. It's one of those things that's not funny, not funny, not funny, not funny, and then boom, suddenly it's funny.
Especially how much Dean enjoys it.
That really does help. Okay.
That really made me happy.
Thank you, Karen. All right. We're going to put you down as a yes on Pippa. All right. That's one. Who's next?
Let's go to Rob in Orange. Hi, Rob.
Hey, party people. How you guys doing?
We are good. Thank you.
Great. All
we're right. fine. I'm a little nervous, though, because, you know, we got Pippagate going on here. What do you think?
It's definitely pretty messed up. Not a fan of it, though I did laugh and have continued to laugh when you guys have played it. It's probably, if you could, like, edit out the sound of Pippa, it might be a little bit better, but...
Play it or no? We need a yes or a no vote here, dude.
I'd say probably not, no.
All right, so Rob is a no.
He's a no. Right on the fence, though.
Right? Just barely.
Yeah. And he laughs when he hears it.
Right.
But he's still saying no.
I love that Rob wants it edited.
He does, yeah.
Right.
Edit it, it'll all be
right.
good.
All right, 1-1 on this scientific survey.
All right, let's go to, is it Marie? Mary?
Hi.
Hi there.
Maddie. Hi.
Maddie, welcome to the show from Southgate. You know what we're talking about here. Pippa, yay or nay?
Yay, it's hilarious.
Yay!
It's hilarious.
Thank you, Maddie.
I don't
it's
know
going our way, Bean.
I don't think we're appealing to the best instincts in people because they know how wrong it is.
Right.
Yet they still can't help enjoying it, and that's kind of how I feel, too.
But that's sort of our whole show.
Can I share with you a text I got yesterday?
Yes, of course.
From Mrs. Bean.
Oh.
From
no.
Donna.
Oh, no.
She doesn't get a vote.
I woke up late. Did Pippa make it today? Oh, my God. What's happening in that home?
All right. Where are we? 2-1?
2-1.
2-1.
And 3 is the magic number, right?
Correct.
Okay.
All right. So let's go to Steve in Covina. Hi, Steve.
Popo's out, fellas. Allie, what's up, girl?
What's up, Steve?
All right, Steve. You could be the deciding vote, or you could tie it up. We're 2-1 right now. Yay or nay on Pippa?
Well, I'd like to say, toughen up, America. I'm a yay.
Look at that! And it passes! Steve is a great American. Karen is a great American. Maddie is a great American.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Pippa and see how she's responding to the news, shall we?
Oh! No!
That's a shame.
She was just celebrating.
Felt like she had it.
That was Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
I don't know that I can support a Golden Knights hat. I'm not sure that that's a thing.
John Taffer can wear whatever he wants, by the way. That's what I'm saying. He is an award-winning hospitality expert, best-selling author, highly respected management guru, and, of course, the host of Bar Rescue on the Paramount Network. Formerly Spike, welcome back, John. How are you?
Good to be here, man. It's been a while.
Sorry that Kevin is starting by throwing shade at your hockey team, but you are very enthusiastic about your Golden Knights.
He threw a little shade, but he gave a little credit, too, and I thought it was a reasonable conversation, not a fanatical one.
Right. It's an amazing thing they did for a first-year team.
It is.
Did past tense.
Yeah, and what having a lot of fun. We won, so we're hanging in there.
I know.
The 3 in a row is, I think, our biggest losing trend, actually. You guys
That's
kicked
amazing.
Our butts.
It really is.
We
were just talking to Luke Robitaille about this a few days ago on the show, and he's marveling like the rest of us are. You just don't see this in sports. You just don't.
It's good for Vegas. I remember we had the shooting.
Yeah,
and the season started at home literally a week later.
Oh, wow.
So, you know,
How's
we went
Vegas
from,
as a sports
city?
City, yeah.
It's great. We're excited about the Raiders. Big time. So, you know, we feel that we're going to have an NBA team within the next couple of years.
Is that right?
So it's what's interesting about the hockey team is two things. One, we sold out season tickets.
Right.
So it was really participation. But unlike other cities, about 30% of the people in the arena are from the opposing team. because they come to Vegas for the weekends. Sure. Particularly, so you see the red jerseys, the Kings jerseys. So I must say, and you're going to give me a kick for this, when you win with 30% of the opposing fans there, it's really sweet.
Sure, of course. I never thought about how smart that is to put a team in Las Vegas because so many people will travel there from everywhere else. I mean, you're going to sell a lot more tickets that way.
And it's working. And there are a lot of people that said it wouldn't, but you see it. The hotel rooms are being sold. You see the opposing jerseys, and it's fun. Come to Vegas and see your team.
It helps that the team's doing so well, too.
Yeah,
you know? John, why do you live in Las Vegas?
You know, I lived in Florida, and when I made the pilot of Bar Rescue, I thought I'd make a pilot and go home. I never thought that it would last this long. And I have my consulting business, and I have a real life other than TV. I have a big company, and we develop hotels and resorts. And right now, we're reinventing the customer experience in the world's largest hardware store company.
No
wow.
Kidding.
With over 2,000 hardware stores. So we do a lot of other work. So I lived in Florida. We went to season one of Bar Rescue, which was 10 episodes. I stayed in Florida. Season two was 10 episodes. I stayed in Florida. Season three was 40 episodes.
Wow.
Oh my God.
So I learned about the contractual meaning of the word cycle. I have since renegotiated the whole cycle thing very differently.
Wow. Well, I will tell you, when we saw you were having a book coming out, which, by the way, is available March 13th wherever books are sold, online or in stores, called Don't BS Yourself, Crush the Excuses That Are Holding You Back. I will tell you that I was surprised at first, but then I realized that every time Bar Rescue is on, my social media feed is filled with people who are like, John is the OG. John is the guy who gets it done. John is the guy who makes people do things. I mean, you have that reputation already, and people know that from you, from television, seeing you whip people into shape when they think they can't be whipped into shape.
Yes. Sometimes I believe in them more than I believe in themselves, actually. And this book is sort of that. This has become a labor of love. This has really been quite an experience for me. I just shot my 160th Bar Rescue. 160. Think of the depth of failure that I've experienced. You're shaking your head at 150 episodes.
Wow.
So I have seen such failure that most people, I mean, talk radio business. You talk about what's successful, how to be successful, what you do to be successful, the blocks of success, steps of success. I know more about failure than anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Because these people can't afford to buy me lunch, nonetheless.
Yeah. Right.
You know, to have somebody who does what I do.
You've seen a lot of people go bankrupt, right?
I have. So I thought to myself, after about 120 of these things, I found a common denominator of failure, and it's so freaking easy. It's just an excuse. Mm-hmm. You see, if you wake up tomorrow and blame the president, the government, the weather, the economy, the this, the that, you have no reason to change because it's not your fault. It's that son of a gun who's ruining it for me. Mm-hmm. But if you wake up in the morning and blame yourself, then you're going to get angry and you will change.
So that's the biggest issue that you run into going into bars?
Excuses.
It's not me. It's got to be.
Yeah. So I went on this quest and I define the word excuse. This is cool. The word excuse is nothing but, in essence, a rationalization of a mistake.
So you're making a mistake and you're just rationalizing it away.
Or you wouldn't say the excuse.
Yeah.
There's no purpose for an excuse if you're not rationalizing a mistake.
But, John...
So the book destroys every excuse.
Okay.
And when you're done, I leave you with nothing. What are you going to do then? You have to act.
There must be people, though, who are doing all the right things who are still not successful, though. Right?
I find there is
a certain amount of... There's luck involved. Sometimes, right? There's bad breaks involved sometimes that aren't your fault.
Well, of course. I'm going down to Puerto Rico to do two hurricane-impacted bars. So, of course, we have those types of things. Mm-hmm. But honestly, if you open in a smart location and you do everything correctly, you rarely fail. If it's your first time, then you're going to make a lot of mistakes, but the failure is based upon the mistakes. Interestingly, the first time people go into the bar business, success is about 1 of 12.
Oh, wow.
If you go out the second time, it's going to be 1 of 3.
Because
you don't make those mistakes again.
Yeah.
Right.
So the same person's statistics are so much better the second time out. So that's a factor. So I agree there are people who do everything right. But, you know, what is right? Are they doing it right for them? Are they doing it right for their customers? Right. Whose music are they playing? Mine or theirs? Who is so there's a lot of ways to interpret right.
In the beginning of your book, you talk about your mom passing away. And it seemed like a pretty heartfelt apology and you were using excuses to not talk to her.
Yeah. And you know, 5 years later, you realize what an idiot you are.
You hadn't talked to her for 5 years.
Yeah, wow. For 5 years. Now, that was many years before she passed, so that was old news. But, you know, you look back at it, you say to yourself, that's 5 years of my life. I will imagine if, what was it?
Do you remember?
I don't. I honestly don't remember what it was. That's why it's such BS to you know, go through that. And we think about it. Think of all the people in life who we've disconnected with that meant something to us. Mm-hmm. We don't even know why we disconnected with them anymore.
Yeah.
And these excuses get in the way. So there's great excuses that came up time after time. Fear is one. Right?
Yeah.
I'm scared to do it. I'm scared to do it. I'm scared. I'm scared. But everybody else did it in the same situation. What are you scared of? So then those situations, you know, I have more confidence than they do. Then the other one is circumstance. Well, you know, I can't overcome the weather. I can't overcome this. Mm-hmm. I opened a bar in Seattle. You know that market pretty well. Mm-hmm. Years ago, and every outside deck, and everybody said to me, you can't open bars outside in Seattle. It rains every freaking day here. So I put these metal poles in the deck that umbrellas slipped into, and you could walk around and carry your umbrellas. It was one of the coolest happy hours in Seattle. So you know, there's ways to overcome and do things. So then there's fear, circumstance, resources. I don't have the money. I don't have the time. Time is a great one.
Sure.
I'm sorry. I would have done this, but I don't have the time. But you sat on social media for 3 hours this morning.
Yeah.
You have the time. You're just not using the time. Right?
I bet that's got to be at the top of most people's list of poor time management is what holds so many of us back, right?
Big time.
I mean,
and we do. You know, we wake up.
I used to see the people who used to complain that they don't have time to work out. And then I'd see Barack Obama in the gym every single morning. And I was thinking, you know what? The guy's the freaking president of the United States of America. And he somehow has time to work out. I think we all have time to work out.
I think so, too. You know,
that when you started working out, Bean?
Yes. I started getting so buff.
Yeah.
And I imagine that ego plays a huge role in all of this as well.
Yeah. And ego gets in the way hugely. And, you know, I want to remove a wall, and it's like I'm removing their child.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a personal connection to what they do. But then, you know, to me, ego is an interesting thing. How much ego can you have when you have an empty wallet?
Yeah, true.
Right? So it becomes a very false ego. So he who puts their ego before their wallet has no ego at all. So, you know, ego is defined on success and being someone. In our society, when you are someone and you attain success, you have at least a few dollars in your wallet. You're not losing $500,000 a year.
Right.
You are. So I have to teach them, you know, how moronic it is to sit there with an empty wallet and suggest that you're God.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
John Taffer's our guest here on the Kevin DeBeach Show from Bar Rescue. We're talking about his book, available everywhere on the 13th, called Don't BS Yourself. You've been speaking in front of groups. You're a management guru, so you have been helping businesses that we've seen on TV and lots of businesses and lots of people off TV that we haven't seen. Is that where a lot of this material from the book came from, is working with people, helping them through their problems, seeing what worked and what didn't work for them, and you've kind of coalesced everything you've learned kind of into this one book?
Yeah, but you know, Bean, I've had a very unique background. I've been on the board of NFL Enterprises. I created Sunday Ticket for NFL Enterprises.
Is that right?
Yeah. It was my creation.
You've taken a lot of my money.
That's good to hear.
Can you tell me what my login is?
but you know, years ago I did that. I've sat on the board of huge resort and hotel companies. I ran one of the largest trade shows in Las Vegas, the nightclub and bar convention, for 30 years. So I have a very diversified background. I've taken restaurant companies public. I've taken them private. I've been in a retail business. I've even done work with the Vatican, believe it or not, years ago.
Wow.
In merchandising and product licensing.
With the good Pope or the Nazi Pope? Do you remember?
With John Paul.
Cardinal
Shoka back then. But so I have a very unique set of experiences that I couldn't have planned. You know, it just sort of happened in life, and they all apply. But you're right. I do give a lot of speeches around the country. As a matter of fact, next week I'm giving a speech to the Yankees.
Is that right?
In New York, yes.
John, what keeps you – you've got to be fabulously wealthy, right? You've made many fortunes, right?
I have a printing press in the house. Let's just
okay.
Excellent.
What's nice?
I'm curious about this, and any super successful people that continue to work so hard. What's driving you at this point?
And that's a great question, Bean. Sometimes I think about that myself. You know, I'll be really blunt. At the end of a bar rescue episode, two things happen. I get a check and I get a hug.
Okay.
And I've really thought about this a lot, because after 160 episodes, being, you know, I've done everything I can do. I've proven everything I could prove. You know, mm-hmm. it's just, you know, going through the motions again. What you don't know is when I'm hugged, our microphones are in our chest, so they're pushed up against each other. You don't hear what's said during the hug. And the things that those owners whisper in my ear during that hug is so freaking inspirational.
Why did you have to scream at me on TV?
Well, just thank you. You know, thank you. You changed my life. You know, and then the next weeks I get these emails from them.
So you work now so hard because it feels good. The work you do and the response you get makes you feel good.
It really does, yes.
Let's take a phone call in that line. Ryan and Carson, hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning.
Morning. Morning.
Hey, John, just wanted to say, a huge fan, man. Been a huge fan of not only Bar Rescue, but more of you. I have the book, Raise the Bar. I've used it as my manual. I'm actually a proud owner of my first business, which is a bartending school. My goal is to actually open up my bar, which is hopefully in the near future. But I just wanted to say thank you, man. Your Raise the Bar book is almost like a manual for me. I've read that thing numerous times. I have one that's signed by you. That stays in the shelf, but I do read that thing all the time, and I just want to say thank you for all the free information besides the $20 I spent on the book.
my pleasure. To tell you a story that nobody knows. Many years ago, I owned a bartending school in Washington, D.C. called Bartenders Academy, and I made my first TV commercial, and I remember I said, are you bored, unemployed, or currently do you know in 40 short hours I can make you a professional bartender? And the guy who shot it had me sit at a desk with my hands crossed on the desk. So here I am. I made my first TV commercial. I got a bartending school. I'm in Washington, D.C. I go out to a bar that night. Right, I've been seen on TV. I had 12 spots, and everybody walks up to me and says, "You're the guy on TV with your hands crossed." That was my first television experience. But that's a great business. Congratulations and good luck,
Ryan. Do you not want to see John? Do you not want to see John coming through the front door?
Not at all. No. Okay.
All right. Well, that's a nice endorsement there. I'm sad that we're out of time, but you have sold yourself a book right here, John. I can't wait to read this thing. So March 13th, available wherever books are sold. You can go to johntafford.com right now if you want to pre-order. Go to Amazon, go to Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books. Can't wait to read it, man. Sounds fascinating. Thank you so much for stopping back by.
Great to see you guys.
How did your lack of ability in the math world come up yesterday? It's a conversation about money, I think, is
how
it started.
Yeah, we were talking about money. We've discussed on the air before that I am not great at math. And just thinking about math, I get real anxious and nervous, and quite frankly, I have to poop. Like, that's how it affects me.
Okay.
You didn't need that?
Mm-mm,
okay.
No.
Let me just give you a look back,
okay,
if you will, on my life. SAT scores come in. My verbal was near perfect. My math was so bad, they thought something happened with, like, the Scantron. They're like,
oh,
did you skip an answer and then everything was messed up from that point on? I was like, no, that would be correct. What you see right there. Like, very concerning. I was in honors classes all through high school, all AP classes, except math. And it was a struggle.
I think that's
God
pretty
bless
common.
You, Mrs. Bennett, because she dealt with some stuff with me.
I think that's a common problem where you can be perfectly fine
in everything.
In everything except for there's one blind spot that you just can't.
Absolutely.
You just can't get.
Allie's not good at math, but we still love her. She makes us laugh. Come on, add one and one. Can you do it? Are you that dumb?
I mean, at one point in her life, continue with your story, your look back, your wonderful look back.
So this is what got us talking yesterday, because I have a financial advisor. I don't know why. My parents set it up long ago. So he had contacted me about different accounts, IRA accounts, all this stuff. And my dad said, just tell him to call me. If you don't know what he's talking about, have him call me. I'm like, I'm cool. I'm a grown-ass woman. I can handle this. And I'm literally writing down what he's saying with just huge question marks. I'm like, annuity? Mm-hmm. Huh? Move? Taxable? What are you saying?
At the bottom of the page, did it say, go ahead and call dad?
Then I said, let's just hand this all over to Pops. But I think he realized quickly that he was not dealing with a full deck.
Oh.
Because he said, what do you contribute to your 401k? And I said, oh, I don't. And he goes, you don't have a 401k? And he was judgy. And I was like,
I mean, he should be.
I was like, slow down. And I said, oh, no, 401k. Yeah, I have that. And he goes, okay, well, what do you put in? And I said, no, I don't put anything in. They take it out. And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, I don't put money into the 401k. You take it out of my check. And he goes, Yeah, that's your contribution. I'm asking you what percentage. And I could tell this man was like, am I being punked? What's happening?
Right.
And I'm writing all this down like, am I being punked? Like, why doesn't he get that I don't contribute it? They're taking it. What an idiot.
But you know that, you are contributing.
Yeah, after after that, I really did. But so I'm kind of chatting with you guys yesterday about this. And then I brought up when it all started.
I mean, this sounds, probably is, a blonde joke.
Yeah. This is really bad. But my first job, I got money under the table because I worked at a hot dog stand on the beach. Franks for the memories. Wonderful place. So I didn't have to worry about, you know, taxes. I didn't have to. This is totally illegal, by the way, that I'm saying this.
Yeah, of course.
But who cares? I was young. I was dumb. And by the way, a hot dog and a sun-kissed on a warm day, delightful.
Okay, sidetrack.
All right. Anyway, as I was saying, so my first real job, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting an actual check. So I had to open up a checking account.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. 16 right? years old, I have a checking account. Awesome.
Don't know much about it at that age,
no,
but just happy
no.
to have it.
You just write on this paper and you pay for stuff.
Right.
It's phenomenal. So we get a letter and I open it and I show my mom and dad. I'm like, well, this is weird. I got a letter from the bank saying that I owe money because these checks didn't clear. And my mom goes, you're bouncing checks? And I said, well, yeah, on here it says overdrawn, which makes no sense because... And then I literally pulled out my checkbook and I said, I've got all of these left. And I saw the disappointment in my father that I have never and still to this day not seen again.
He was right.
Al is not good at math.
Not good at math.
Just because you have checks doesn't mean you have the cash, you dumbass.
So that that happened, and I explained to them, oh, I thought if you just... And my dad's like, you aren't subtracting money every time you do that. I'm like, that's what that column's
you're
for.
You're incredibly intelligent. This is odd to me.
Well, thank you, and you are correct. This is a serious blind spot for
right.
me. Like, it doesn't make sense in the grand scheme of my
it's not just,
immense, immense genius.
It's not just that you're not as sharp as you are in every other category. You're not... I mean...
No, it's like...
It's in the negative.
Bottom level. Negative, which would be what my checking account was. But then, after that happened, my parents buy me, you know, the checking account holder that says, I can't be overdrawn. I still have checks. I'm like, that's funny. Loser. Oh, me. Yeah. So it's bad. Mm-hmm. I'm getting better.
Are you?
Yes.
How are
you? I know how much money I have. I know
okay.
what to spend. I know what.
Do you know
I
when you write
budget.
A check, it comes out of your bank?
I don't write checks anymore.
I see. Okay.
Who writes checks?
All right.
Yeah.
You have a limit on credit cards?
Absolutely.
Okay. All
yeah.
right.
Yeah. I have no debt. I'm good.
Okay.
I'm doing
making
fantastic.
Progress.
Thank you.
Thank God for your dad.
Thank God for my dad.
Allie's not good at math. She sucks so freaking hard. Not the good kind of suck. She's just not good at math.
Yeah. So if you need any help with your financial advising,
no, don't.
I now know what annuity is.
Don't reach out.
I don't know what annuity
okay.
is.
Okay. Beer Mug is in the studio with us now.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for Cheers with Beer Mug.
Beer Mug, he wants to go where everybody knows his name.
Yeah.
Asking questions with no shame.
What are you?
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came.
Oh!
Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Wow. Right?
Well said.
So Mugs, same bar every time, right?
Every time. And you know what? I'm trying to not drink when I go now. And,
what?
And I'm finding it
what?
Very, very, very difficult.
I've heard this. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You weren't trying at all to not drink.
Not this past time, but it's during the week.
Yeah.
So not this past time, but in the future.
Yeah. I'm going to try to, you know.
You'll see.
Yeah. I'm going to try to cut it down a little bit.
Muggs is the worst part of these, of all of these.
Oh, come on!
I mean, really, he is. But why were you asking them about pickup lines?
Well, you know, as we all know, it's springtime.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And that's when love starts to emanate through the air.
Yeah, sundress season.
Yeah, sundress season, right?
I just emanate my... through the air?
Does that make sense?
I don't know.
Is that even...
Is that right, Allie?
Is it emanate?
I go to Allie for this.
Yeah, sure, it can emanate.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Nice. It's a weird choice, but it works.
I just learned that word yesterday.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Word of the day. That's sweet.
And I wanted to see what people used for pickup lines, what they thought the best pickup line was to, you know... I can't even talk right now.
Here it is.
Well done.
Hi, you want to hold hands and make out? Then they always say yes, but I run away because I wasn't serious.
All right, so you got that guy.
What?
So he didn't really have one.
It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. All right.
Oh, so you're asking pickup lines. Okay, yeah. I missed it. Oh, there's pickup lines. Got it. Okay.
Love is in the air.
I'm
spring.
Here. Love is in the air. Spring.
Emanates.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Pickup
lines. Are you the alphabet?
No. I mean, maybe.
Why?
Because you and I should be together.
You should go into a Chewbacca contest.
That's your answer?
She busted out with the most amazing Chewbacca impression.
Why was it so long?
It's impressive. Dave has nothing on that.
Girl, I don't think it was a Chewbacca impression.
I don't think it was either, Muggs.
What was it?
She was trying to show that she could do something very well for someone else.
Right. With her vocal cords?
I would say more towards her lip area.
Let's continue.
We have to walk you through
this. We really do.
Apparently how do things work?
All right. Let's continue.
You know it's springtime?
Yeah. 420's coming up. I'm going up to Sacramento.
Since springtime is in the air.
Listen to Muggs.
What? I'm sorry. Take two. Since it's springtime and love is in the air, what is your best pickup line?
Love is in the air. That's like the love boat. Oh.
Sing the love boat together?
Yeah.
The love boat.
I know it sounds like we slowed it down because nobody could possibly talk this slow, but we did not.
What's your best pickup line, Jimmy?
Oh, I can't think of a pickup line right now.
Come on, dude. You can do it, Jimmy. I believe in you.
I can't do it.
Well, he's not taking no for an answer.
All right. All right. All right. How about this? I'm going to feed you one. Did it hurt? You're supposed to say, did what hurt?
Nah, nothing hurt. This one. You want to go camping?
What?
Yes.
I forgot the punchline.
Hey, Jimmy. Jimmy. Jimmy.
Yeah.
Did it hurt?
No.
Oh, no, you're supposed to say, did what hurt?
Oh, did what hurt?
Did it hurt when you fell from heaven?
No.
There it is. That's a wrap. Cut,
what
print,
the hell?
Edit, whatever the f*** they say.
What?
What is up with Jimmy?
Wow.
Oh, Jim.
I gotta get Jimmy more drinks next time I
really?
Kill him.
So he can be as drunk as you?
Yeah.
Let's continue.
Monty, come here, bub. Monty.
Why is that happening? You're just trying to get his attention?
Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't listening to me.
Really?
So, as you know, it's springtime and love is in the air.
Oh, yeah.
Monty, what would be the one pickup line you would tell to a beautiful, attractive lady?
Hey, baby, would you want to be the queen of my castle, baby? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Have you used that on a female yet?
Never, ever, because I don't want to get my ass kicked.
If anybody kicks your ass, Monty, tell them to come through beer mug first.
Oh, I love you, brother. Thank you.
Cheers, Monty. Cheers.
Cheers to you, Bob. Oh, yeah.
So that's you trying to not drink?
So, yeah. You remember that?
Nailed it.
Not so much.
Well done. Harvey Levin from TMZ and great news coming up a little bit later on this hour. First, my mom is in town, so I wasn't answering the phone a lot.
Uh-huh.
And certain people may have been calling me
oh.
a lot.
Why are you looking at me?
Because I don't want to look over there.
Oh.
Striker has a tail.
Tail.
So when you see four missed calls, panic a little bit, right?
Yeah, serious.
Four.
I'm sorry. You were with your mom.
Yes. My mom was here
for
my daughter's birthday. Yes. And we did a lot of family stuff, and I didn't necessarily answer the phone a lot.
Yeah.
So I saw four messages. I was like, oh, no, what's going on?
Oh, dear.
This is the first one.
Uh-oh. Hello. Kevin, are you there? Did you pick up? I had the music on. Hello. Damn it.
What the hell? Were you a little drunk?
No.
You weren't drunk?
No.
What?
No. But I had a reason for calling. But I the great song was on, and it must have gone one ring right to your voicemail.
That's possible. Yeah. But then I didn't say anything ever, and you just said hello, hello, hello.
It's an odd reaction.
It's weird, right?
Okay.
Kevin, what's up at Stryker? I wanted to see what you're doing.
This is call two.
Okay.
I saw ducks today, which was incredible. There was a green-headed one. Is that the female? And then baby one swimming off next to it.
What is happening? He saw ducks is this update. He saw ducks.
But I'm about to get in an Uber. And I'm all in my own head on how to behave.
Now, this is funny because we do this all the time where we talked about Uber ratings last week. And we all came up with the things that we thought marked us down on that.
Right.
And this has happened to me 1,000 times where we talk about getting a speeding ticket. What do you say? What are you supposed to do?
Right.
And then you get pulled over and you're like,
right.
I can't remember what we came up with.
Okay.
I absolutely have no idea what result we decided upon. Mm-hmm. And that's what Stryker did here.
I think we talked about the ratings on the air last week. I had a 4.8 something, which wasn't that bad. I think it was a little higher than your rating, but.
He's got a little
jab, right?
Smack talk a little bit.
I don't know what's going on.
On a message, he's smack talking.
Now I'm nervous to get in the car. What Uber do you get? Do you get Uber X? Do you get Select? Do you carpool? Do you get the Mercedes? Do you get a van? All right, I'm going to Uber.
Do you think he picks up in the middle of a voicemail? Do you know how voicemails work? I'm
so embarrassed right now.
Do you care how my Uber? Why am I calling you? You're probably home. Like, what's going on? Hello? Did I hang up?
Hello? Did I hang up?
Oh, my God.
What's happening? Do you know how phones work?
Yes, okay. I do.
All right.
But there is, on my end, to be fair to me,
okay,
there was a click every now and then.
Oh.
And the number that I have in my phone for Kevin, I don't know if that's a home number, a cell number.
You
so
know
maybe
it's my cell number.
I don't know what it is.
You do know what it is. You text me on it. You can't
I'm
text
so
a home
embarrassed
number.
Right
I don't
now.
Even have a home number. Who has a home number anymore?
I have a home number.
I have a home number.
Okay. I take back my score. All right, so that's 2 of 4.
Okay.
Now 3.
Kevin, I'm in an Uber right now, and my driver, Cecilia, has an R2-D2 right at her clock. Cecilia, am I a good passenger?
Yes. Great conversation.
By the way, she had a gun to her head, didn't she? Right?
Yeah, I think she was.
Am I a good passenger? Yes, great conversation. Can I drive now?
So does that determine what gets you the 5-star, or is it slamming the door too hard? What would have gotten me 4 or 3 or 2 stars?
Being an asshole.
I have an Uber driver that likes to curse. So is it illegal for the driver or the passenger to ask for good stars?
Good question.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Well, you get 5 stars. If they allowed 6, I would give Cecilia 6. I hope you have a great day, Cecilia.
What a brown noser.
Right? Ew.
If I could give you 6 stars, I would.
God.
She was nice. She was a nice Uber driver. She had good music on. She had R2-D2 hanging out in the car.
I mean, I'd give you 6, but if you want to earn it.
No.
No, was it,
no. No.
What do you mean, no?
I was, whatever it takes, man.
Whatever it takes to get that 5.0.
Right? What does it take, Cecilia? Right. You asked her.
Kevin, I am sorry for calling you.
Oh, no, this is fun.
Yes.
We're having a good time right now. All right, let's continue with call 3.
Thank you. Have a wonderful trip.
Say hi, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Okay, Kevin, I'm getting out of the car. It's a beautiful car.
Cecilia's very nice. I lucked out, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, question.
Play by play.
Question, though. You said now, after all that conversation, I'm getting in the car.
Oh,
you hadn't even gotten in the car yet?
I think I was just getting out of the car.
Getting out of the car.
Yeah, okay. I was getting out of the car. So the reason why, well, do you want to know why I was calling you?
Sure. No, let's play four.
Okay.
And then if that doesn't explain it, then you can tell me. So this is call four. Now, so far, I'm sort of with Stryker on everything. I forget the Uber ratings and whatnot and all this. This I can't for the life of me understand because I'm the exact opposite from Stryker.
Hey, sorry I'm calling so much. Katie has been working all day, and then my other friends live in Vegas, so they're not around. And so I just like calling you. But anyway, I can see the lights of Coachella. I'm out here again.
All right. So Stryker is going back out to Coachella.
Okay.
I respect that.
Sure.
Weekend two.
Yeah.
Going strong.
But I'm going to bed. It's 8:50. I'm getting in.
So he can see the lights of Coachella.
Just beckoning, right?
He's within eyesight.
Right.
And he's going to bed, and it's 8:50.
Okay.
On Saturday night?
Saturday night.
8:50 on a Saturday night. He's within eyesight of Coachella, and he's not going.
Yeah.
Why did you drive out there?
Because
was it to go to Coachella?
It sounded good to go to Coachella Saturday night. And then once I got there, the whole duck thing and then the Uber and just the relaxation.
You know, that can happen.
Yeah.
So he decided to go to bed.
Okay.
Instead.
There's three pillows, which I will use to my benefit. okay. Anyway, there's three pillows, but I'm so sad. I see the lights, but it just... I'm going to bed. Okay, I'll see you on Monday morning, bright and early. I hope you're having a good weekend. And, talk to you later. Uber was a success. Bye.
Wow.
Right? Right?
That's a lot.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I had to change my number.
Oh, no!
We are going to qualify you for a trip to Paris for the world premiere of Mission Impossible Fallout and give you tickets to the K-Rock Advance screening coming up in about 5 minutes or so. 5 minutes from right now, we'll be looking for you Tom Cruise fans here on K-Rock. First, though, how about some animal stories?
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. To cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
This is Bean speaking. You know, my plan is to live to be 100, right? You guys have heard me talk about that before.
Yeah, but you're joking.
I'm not joking at all. I 100% expect to live to be 100.
Right.
And one of the ways that I am trying to accomplish that is by removing threats from my life. I am not a guy who's doing dangerous activities. You don't see me skydiving. You don't see me running across busy streets. I mean, I do everything I can to not be
running across busy streets. Is that something people do?
Have you seen how many people get hit by cars? How many pedestrians are killed in this country?
Yes, but they're not just trying to run across the street to run across the street. They're trying to get to the other side and go someplace.
But what I'm saying is they put themselves in a situation that is dangerous. I don't do that.
Okay,
I eliminate danger in my life because I want to take that out of the mix.
Sure.
Okay? So the last thing in the world, like, for instance, that would ever happen to me is what happened to Wa Tiba 54, an Indonesian villager who was just swallowed whole by a python. Like, that's never going to be me.
Wow.
I'm never going to be that guy. She lives on the island of Muna in Indonesia, and she wanted to visit her cornfield. She's been having some trouble there with some of the feral pigs, wild boars in the neighborhood that have been raiding the crops lately.
She's got a hell of a lot of problems.
So she wanted to go out and check on her cornfield about a half a mile from her house. And it wasn't her intention that she would then be eaten by a 23-foot python, but that is exactly what happened. She did not come back. Her sister went out to the field for look for her, saw footprints, saw her flashlight, her machete, and her slippers, but she was missing. So about 100 people from a nearby village came and started combing the cornfield, and they found the snake a few dozen yards away from Tiba's belongings. It was 23 feet long. It was so bloated, it could hardly move. It had a large bulge midway down its body with a foreboding look to it, and the villagers killed the snake, opened it up, and sure enough, there was the lady.
Was she alive?
I'm sorry, no.
I wonder how long she stayed alive. Like, I'm in an effing snake.
Yes, that would be.
Never thought I would find myself here.
Talk about getting stuck in something, right? Apparently, pythons of this kind secure its prey with a bite, and then they wrap their body around the victim and they squeeze it until you can no longer breathe, and that's when they eat it.
So that's
hopefully,
actually better.
Oh yeah, hopefully you're dead before you go inside the snake. That's two people, by the way, in less than a year in Indonesia who have been eaten by pythons.
Okay, so don't move to Indonesia. That's a good tip.
I think that is an excellent tip. All right, here's a surprise. You see a lot of stories, and lately, in fact, there have been a bunch of them in the news. There was just one this weekend about somebody finding a mouse in a bag of Wendy's buns.
Yeah.
At a restaurant. Well, this guy goes to Kroger's. His name is Jacob Vaughn. He's in Toledo, Ohio. He goes to the Kroger supermarket chain and buys a bag of broccoli. What do you suppose was in his broccoli and was still alive but a black widow spider?
Oh, man.
A black widow, kids.
That's what he gets for buying broccoli.
The South Toledo man said he discovered the spider while washing off the broccoli before cooking it when, quote, the spider came out and started waving his hands around.
What?
Oh. It was pretty obvious he was alive since he was throwing his hands in every direction. He did not seem pleased. It does seem
spiders
like
spiders don't throw their hands around.
But maybe what if they just don't care?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. This needs a little reggaeton soundtrack, doesn't it? So he took out his tongs. He took the piece of broccoli he was on and double bagged it in some zip ties or Ziploc bags, I should say. And then did two things. One is he went to the Kroger's and said, "Hey, give me my money back," which they did. The other thing is he put it up on Facebook. Now, here's where the story, this really surprises me, by the way. The black widow spider, who has since been named Broccoli, was taken in by an animal rescue group.
What?
Another Chance Sanctuary has now welcomed Broccoli to the rescue.
Look, Broccoli's a partier.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah, so
can't be contained. Right?
So it's kind of a happy ending. This guy didn't get bit by the black widow spider. Broccoli got a hot new life at an animal shelter.
Makes it a hot new life.
and everybody's happy, I think.
That's great news.
All right, here's a story that is not as great, and I feel terrible about this, but it happened, and I got to share it with you.
You don't have to.
I do.
Okay.
She is, I want to say in Illinois, maybe. She is 46 years old. Her name is Dee Dee Phillips. By the way, she's a grandma at 46, which I guess if you do the math is certainly possible. You don't meet a lot of them. She was in her driveway. She had just finished putting a "Women Who Behave Rarely Make History" bumper sticker on the back of her new truck when she turned around and encountered in her driveway a bobcat.
Oh, no.
Now, I don't know a lot about bobcats, but are they the type who will attack you, or are they like coyotes that are kind of scaredy cats and you yell at them and they run away? What usually happens with a bobcat?
I'm not positive, but I think they attack more.
Because we got a lot of them in L.A. County, of course.
Yeah, I'm not positive.
As soon as it took the first step, I was in trouble, and I knew it. She said she thought about her 5-year-old granddaughter sleeping inside the house, and she was terrified that the girl would come outside while this bobcat was on the property. So she grabbed it by the shoulders, pushed it back away from me, and took it down. During the struggle, she got her hands around the animal's neck and strangled it to death.
What?
This is a 46-year-old grandma.
What's happening?
Who strangles a bobcat? Like, I'm sorry. Bobcat plus grandma equals bobcat.
Agreed, but not
I
in this case.
Imagine.
Wow.
I mean, I just feel absolutely awful that that's how that animal's life ended. But
it was her.
Exactly.
I mean, come on now.
What a crazy story. All right, real quick, two more. This is an unbelievable story, and I know you don't want to believe it, but when you see the photographs, it's amazing. This happened in China. Sea creatures raining from the sky after being sucked out of the ocean by a violent storm. This is in eastern China.
I saw that in Sharknado.
No, this happened in real, though. Oh. Apparently, fish can be sucked from the sea by tornado-strength winds, which form a water spout. Then the animal sucked up with the water can be deposited hundreds of yards or even miles away after being released by the wind. These photos, though, people saw starfish, people saw shellfish, mollusks, octopuses raining down from the sky. You've never seen anything like it. And finally, and this one is in Louisiana. This is just north of New Orleans, right across Lake Pontchartrain. A man is fishing there and catches an alligator snapping turtle, which, by the way, I didn't know very much about.
Alligator snapping turtle.
It is called the dinosaur of the turtle world. It is the largest freshwater turtle in North America. It's among the largest turtles on Earth. They can exceed 220 pounds, by the way,
Holy
and can live
crap.
As long as 100 years. So he catches this turtle, and his plan is to eat it. He is cleaning the turtle for a meal. What did he find inside the turtle's belly but a human finger?
Oh.
A human finger. He did call the police, and they came out, and they said, that's a human finger, all right. And
thanks for the call.
Yep, that's it.
It did not appear to be an advanced state of decomposition, but they were unable to get a usable fingerprint off it. They have checked with area hospitals, but no one has been admitted without a finger. No one has come forward to claim it.
Who's missing a finger, everybody? Come on now.
Maybe drain that swamp, right? There are bodies in there.
It appears to be from a Caucasian individual, they said. They're going to determine for sure with DNA testing, but they are looking around. They have looked in the area where the turtle was caught exactly for that reason, to see if there was some sort of a foul play. So they don't know whether this was a fishing accident or this was something worse than that. But clearly, the person didn't seek any kind of medical attention. Somebody lost a finger. If he or she is still alive, and is just walking around with a finger missing, like you see in the movie sometimes. You know, the people who are involved in bad things don't want to go to the authorities. They can't go because they got shot, because then there's a lot of questions about what they were doing or something. But that's just the last thing you expect when you're just cleaning your turtle for dinner and there's a human finger inside of it, right?
Yeah, I don't think that's a positive.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is Kevin and Bean's Animal Stories.
Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues.
A story came out yesterday that is very troubling to me. Look. A lot of people have a fear of flying anyway, and it's not really the fear of flying as much as it is the fear of crashing. And I don't care how seasoned a flyer you are, it crosses your mind every time you get on a plane that once in a great while a plane goes down. This Qantas Flight 94 from Los Angeles to Melbourne that took off on Sunday night went into a 10-second nosedive. 10 seconds of a plane going down has to feel like an eternity, right?
No question.
I mean, you are convinced after that amount of time that you are going to die. You have to be, right?
If you're in a nosedive, it's not just like you lost a little bit of, you know.
Or you banked.
Yes. Thank you. I'm like, elevation. You lost gravity up there, right?
Yeah,
where
elevation.
Kevin,
I mean,
when you need him
to explain gravity. If a plane just went down swiftly, that
Lord.
Would be one thing. But this is a free fall nosedive, a direct decline toward the ocean. It was between 1.5 and 2 hours after we left L.A., said a passenger, and all of a sudden the plane went through a violent turbulence and then completely upended, and we were nosediving. We were all lifted from our seats immediately. We were in a free fall. It's that feeling like when you were at the top of a roller coaster and you've just gone over the edge of the peak and you start heading down. It was an absolute sense of losing your stomach and that we were nosediving. So, a couple of questions about this. I know it's terrifying even to imagine, even though all 484 people on board were fine. Nobody was even injured as a result of this, by the way.
Can I just say, when I'm up in the sky for an hour and a half, 2 hours, everything's fine. Because we already took off. That's when most problems happen. I'm in the sky. Planes don't fall out of the sky. Now I have to worry about planes falling out of the sky.
Yes. Allie, you and I both had no idea of what happened to this plane is something that is common.
It's caused by a vortex or, quote, wake turbulence caused by another aircraft. What? How? No! No, I don't want that.
This is so shocking to me because, look, I understand that air traffic control is a difficult job because there are hundreds and hundreds of planes in the sky at all times, and you have to keep track of them to make sure they don't run into each other. What I didn't know is that in this case, these two planes were 20 nautical miles apart, which, by the way, a nautical mile is even more than a regular mile. So picture a plane being like 25 miles away, and it was at a different altitude of 1,000 feet. Yet those two planes were too close to each other in the sky, and that's what created this turbulence. Why have I never heard of this before?
And why do I need to know now? I didn't need to know this. I'm telling you, I didn't.
And by the way, this deep background on this story, there are other cases of planes that have crashed as a result of this. So you can be a pilot flying a plane and doing everything right and have a completely healthy plane mechanically, and another plane can fly by you 20 miles away, and all of a sudden that creates an atmospheric disturbance that takes your plane down. Like, we need something else to worry about when we get on a plane.
If you're heading to the airport right now, sorry about this conversation.
Does it say how big the planes are that cause these turbulence or cause these pockets of air, these vortexes?
Well, let me see. These were – what kind of planes? I mean, these are – obviously, it's 484 people on a plane. I mean, that's a big plane. I would assume it's like a 767 or something like that, I would imagine, right, for that kind of passengers?
In 93, it was a Boeing 757.
Yeah.
I mean, these are not prop dusters. No.
Exactly, but, yeah.
Prop dusters?
Prop dusters.
Prop dusters, yeah. Yeah, just what? Like the farts.
Prop planes. That's what I meant.
What goes through your mind, you think, if you honestly believe you're on a plane that's going down?
Well, first, I'm thinking I'm glad it's over the ocean.
Yeah.
Right?
Not but like the not ocean gonna... is going to be a lighter hit than
yeah, you don't survive. You don't survive 30,000 feet. To the ground,
no.
Even if you land. It doesn't matter if you're in the ocean or on the land, Dave.
Nosedive.
It doesn't matter. I think you probably, I mean, when the 9/11 planes were hijacked, people had several minutes and they tried to make phone calls. I think that's out of the question if you've got a plane that's just going down in a nosedive, right? I don't think you could even get a phone call off probably, right? How long would it take, I wonder, to hit the water from where this plane was flying?
This conversation.
I know, it's terrible.
I mean, the only thing I can think is if you were up there and you had Wi-Fi, if you have the presence of mind just to fire off one email, like, I love you, that's it.
But can you imagine doing that when a plane's at 90 degrees?
No, I don't. I think you just, if you pray, you pray.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, I think if you don't pray, you pray. You know?
I always wondered how this works. I'm not a big believer in religion. I'm very comfortable with other people getting strength and comfort and out of faith. I'm not a guy who is a believer. Mm-hmm. But I think I might believe in Jesus in that last minute just in case it's all true.
Yeah.
I think I might give my life to Jesus because they always say it doesn't matter when in your life. If you give your life to Jesus, you get to go to heaven. So I think that's how I would bank it, is in that last 15 seconds. I go, all right, Jesus, I'm with you.
We cool.
And I also would be thinking very hard in that final minute about what was on my browser at home. I think that would be a real concern about it. By the way, the woman interviewed in this article that I quoted from, she and her seatmate, along with multiple people on the plane, held hands with complete strangers, which makes total sense to me because no one wants to die alone. And if you're there, you just want a human. Mm-hmm. You just want the touch of a human and some comfort, right?
Aren't you supposed to tuck your head into your legs and when you're going down?
If you are in a free fall, you're not caring.
They're not
going to help
you.
They're not following protocol.
Oh, you're the worst.
They're not following protocol. Follow protocol, you'll be safe.
We have to end with the all-time greatest depiction on film of people on a plane thinking they're going to die from the amazing 2000 movie Almost Famous. Remember, the band is in crazy turbulence and they think this is their last minute. And the drummer decides, I got to get this out. I can't die without telling people this secret I've held my whole life.
And you say you love me. I don't love you, man. I never did. None of us love you.
Please, enough! Thank God above we're alive! We're alive! We're gonna make it! Sweet relief!
So, in the 70s, a guy comes out and admits he's gay to his bandmates, and then the turbulence just ends right there. Great scene, great movie. I'm with Allie. We didn't need to know about this kind of turbulence, right?
No.
Stop it, planes. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we'll tell you the story about a woman who figured out a way to upload her flashing her boobs onto Google Maps. Is that a step in the right direction?
USA!
Or we okay?
USA! All right, direction.
USA! So we'll talk about that coming up here on K-Rock.
You know, sometimes it's difficult to take pictures with celebrities, so you don't ask. You know how that happens?
Is it difficult to take pictures with celebrities? Don't you just hold your phone up and hit a button?
You would think so, sure. Mm-hmm. But I was at a party and I ran into Will Ferrell recently.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Oh, old friend of the show. Spent time talking to him. He was very nice.
Can we get some meatloaf?
Right?
So I kept thinking in the back of my head, I should ask for a picture, but I don't want to be that guy. But he wouldn't mind taking a picture, so...
Now, let me stop you right there, because I know the inclination for both of us is not to bother a celebrity.
Right.
Not to engage, because we have nothing to add to their lives.
Right.
But, as you mentioned, Will Ferrell has been a listener of the show and a guest on the show going back over 25 years.
Yeah, he used to come to nightclub things that we did.
Yeah, he would come to our live appearances, right. So, and God bless Will. We love Will. We'd do anything for Will. And he would do, he's come through for us on numbers of occasions. So I feel like we kind of have a relationship with him.
Right.
So I feel like that's not too big an ask because you guys know each other.
And that's what I felt like.
Okay.
And then we were smack talking about soccer teams. And then finally I said, look, do you mind if we take a picture? So he said, no, of course. So I put my phone up and somebody texted me. And the text comes over the phone thing. So I had to use my thumb to move the text. And then it went out of camera mode.
All right.
So
understandable.
Okay. So now there's a little pressure because you're wasting his time. Right? Now, you know how you can use the volume up button to take the picture?
Right.
So I hold the phone away from me so that we can both fit, because his head is huge.
Yeah.
And I try to push that button.
Hot meat kettle, by the way. His head is huge.
Right, exactly.
Come on now.
So I try to push the volume up, but I pushed at the same time the power button on the right. So it shut down the camera again. Now, all of a sudden... There's a tremendous amount of stress and anguish that comes into this that really shouldn't.
Oh, yeah. Look, after two attempts with a big star, it's flop sweat time.
Look, Bean and I literally boo people that don't have their phones ready, just mostly to be funny. But
right.
you realize, like, okay, this is ridiculous, and now I'm wasting his time because I don't know how to work my phone, which I totally know how to work.
Right.
I've taken pictures with people 100 times.
Right. If it hadn't been Will Ferrell,
right,
you would have been able to take that picture on the first attempt.
Probably, or I would have bailed. I just would have said, thanks a lot, I appreciate it, don't worry about it.
Right.
So then I finally took a picture, and it was, it was completely blurry.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I believed you when you said it was Will Ferrell.
Oh, no, the one you saw wasn't the blurry one.
Oh, really?
That was the clear one.
Oh, because that one, it was barely Will Ferrell.
Right, exactly. So I took the blurry one, and then the pressure added more, like, I'm really sorry, but I know this was the third try, but that photo was blurry. Can we take another one?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
See, you got more balls than I do.
See, I don't know if it's balls or stupidity.
What's Will doing? What's he saying?
He's being...
Is he looking at his watch?
Nice. No, he couldn't be more nice.
He's like, there's somebody over there I need to go talk to.
No. You picture that's what's going through their minds.
Sure.
But we talked for a little while, and he was being really cool, and he was being patient. It's not like he was saying anything that made me feel all that pressure. But you do feel a tremendous amount of pressure to take that picture.
Absolutely.
And then you get the blurry one and you go, well, I do post blurry photos. That does make me laugh. But I'd like a real one. So I asked him again. And then I took the one that I posted. And I just want to say to everybody that we've booed through the years, sorry about that, because there's a lot of pressure. And I didn't realize that until I crumbled in front of Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell spent 40% of his adult life waiting for you to take his photo.
Right, and I apologize to Will as well. I don't know that we need you here, Omar.
Come on.
I'm not positive your presence is needed.
I was a waiter for 4 years. Who has more insight on this topic than me?
It's World Famous K-Rock. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:21. It's time for Who's the Dick?
Kevin. Next.
So I go out for dinner Saturday night, and one of my pet peeves is people who say we when they're not a part of the group. So the waiter comes up and says, would we like some water tonight? And I say, well, I can answer for me, but I don't know about you. I didn't say that out loud because at that point I was like, ugh, I hate people that use we. And then he brings that. He says, have we had a chance to look at the menu?
It's condescending, isn't it, a little bit?
Yeah, well, it's like he's talking to a kindergartner.
Yeah.
Which, in my case, might be dead on. So,
yeah, were you holding the children's menu, by the way?
I was not, because it wasn't there. They didn't have one. So we say, no, give us a minute. He says, okay, we'll be back in a minute. Now he's talking to himself as we. We'll be back in a minute. What the F's going on at this restaurant?
Right.
So every single time that guy comes over to our table, he says, we. How are we doing? Are we liking the food?
How is that a big deal to you?
It drives me crazy.
That's so weird. Because that's happened to me, and I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. I'll just go ahead and order.
Does it bug you?
No.
Every single time you talk to me. Allie, does that bug you?
I don't think it would, but I'm not an elitist. so, I mean.
Stryker?
In terms of things bothering me at a restaurant, that's in the top 20%. If they said it one time, I'm all right. But over and over,
I feel like they're
talking down to me. Like, I'm lucky to be there. I don't understand the menu. I don't know what a steak is. Oh, wow. Would we like it medium tonight?
Right.
Every single time he said
I mean, yeah, that's an exaggeration, but I would say easily 90% of the time he came. I mean, it seemed like every single time he came to the table.
And it bugs you, so you heard it
bugs
extra
me like
loud.
Crazy.
I had a waiter that I had written off within a minute because he said, oh, the appetizer is nom nom. And I literally looked at my friend and I'm like, we can go. And she's like, he won't do it again. And then he said something later about the desserts being amazeballs. And I was like, I'm never coming back here. I can't.
It's that reaction that's so strong.
I get what you're saying.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What is it? A Denny's? Is it a fancier restaurant?
It's a fancier restaurant. Okay. It's probably a 5.
Okay.
Maybe 6.
Okay.
I wore jeans, if that tells you.
This guy trying to put on a little performance. Because some of these guys do that because they think they're going to get a better tip.
It felt like it, but
really?
But in the end, you'll hear the end of the story. But I'm saying Nitty would come back and he would say, how are we enjoying our food? He'd say, fine.
Okay.
And he just kept doing it.
Do we
need a refill on Diet Coke?
But I think we all can agree that that is a tough job to have with
Agreed.
All those people.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think if the servers would just be cool, not try to be overly cool.
Right.
It would go a lot better. And I think the tips would be better. But we still recognize you got a tough job. You're on your feet. You're carrying
Agreed.
Around food. There's a-holes everywhere in the restaurant.
Yeah. But that's a weird thing to let it bug you that much.
It's not like I made a decision.
Yeah.
To hate it.
You can't control
just
that.
Rubbed it just rubbed me the wrong way. It was grating, and he did it almost every single time he came over.
And he
did we because, leave room for dessert?
Because
he was talking to us like a kindergartner.
Because when I was a waiter, I can tell the people that I needed to treat with a little bit more respectfulness, you know, treat him more like a customer rather than like if I saw a dude like Stryker, I'm like, hey, dude, what's going on?
Right.
That's how I would talk to him. But then you could tell like the people, how are you, ladies and gentlemen? What would you like? You know, can I get you some water to start?
You said, what would
with?
You like?
Yeah.
That's what you said, not
me. Right, I didn't use me. But he didn't kind of get the vibe that you were kind of annoyed by this.
No.
That's kind of shocking.
And I threw in a couple of, I would like this for dessert. I would like. Mm-hmm. I threw that in a couple times with a little emphasis on the word I.
Did he say, hey, you should use the word we?
No, he did not. He didn't correct me, but he kept saying it, kept saying it, kept saying it. By the end of the night, I was livid.
Wow. I don't know why. Me and you outside, buddy.
I don't know why.
We are going outside.
Going in my jeans that I wore here. I got to wrap your neck in them.
In that case, if we're going outside, that makes sense because he's part of me.
Wow.
Yeah, that's very
when you
strange.
When you finally paid and were leaving,
right.
Did you say, are we splitting the tip? You know, maybe just all encompassing. Make it like a family.
I wasn't having fun at that point, so I wasn't really going to go back at him to be funny. Yes, Omar, with your hand up.
What did the other people that you were eating with think about that? Were they bugged as much as you were? By the dude's attitude or anything else? Or was it just you?
I mean, technically, I feel like it was just me.
Really?
Because we got outside the restaurant, and I was like, what about that guy? And they were like...
They were like, what are you talking about?
Right. And everyone I was with was like, what, the waiter? He was nice.
One of the best we've ever had.
Oh, my God. He was awesome. He was on point.
So just before we
Yes, Omar. Stop raising your hand.
Was the water, your beverages, was everything delivered on time, spaced out properly?
Yes.
Oh, okay, okay. So just the only problem you had was that he was saying we.
Yeah, but it happened every time.
Okay.
But that was the only issue.
Okay.
Food wasn't late, didn't make mistakes.
Food was good?
Yeah.
Okay.
How do we like the food? I like it quite well. Inside, I've got this whole battle going on. I'm raging, and the guy has no idea. He probably thinks I'm doing a great job. This is going to be fantastic.
The I versus we war in a restaurant. That's what it is. You were losing that war. You were losing the war.
Oh, yeah. I was way losing the war.
Yeah,
it had already been decided.
Skin,
right.
In your blue jeans.
I tried to say, what?
Huh?
I tried to say I a couple of times, but it made zero sense whatsoever. So then it got to the tip part. And I feel like waiting is a really difficult job.
It is. It sucks.
And so I overtip.
Okay.
Because
mm-hmm.
I assume most people don't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I feel like, you know what? You're really having to deal with the public. You're doing a really difficult job that I'm glad I don't have to do, to be honest.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I tip 25 to 30%.
That's great.
Yeah.
10% on this dude.
No.
What? 10%. Everything was on point. The weed factor?
I couldn't.
You couldn't take it?
Aren't you embarrassed that he may know who you are?
Yes.
What's
now
that?
Now ask it. Now ask it.
Who's the dick?
You, sir. Are you kidding?
Are we kidding?
Hey, guys, would you like to take that back?
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back?
I'm excited about this batch, Kevin. You say it's a good one.
Now, look, we try our best.
Yeah.
A lot of times we're taking stabs at stuff. We're doing it live. We're just winging it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it doesn't work out like we had hoped.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the first one that first person that gets a chance to take it back is Bean.
Oh.
And this is what happened with him.
From the 909, my friend's dad was on his way to meet a big client, and TSA found brass knuckles in his bag.
All right.
Instant arrest, and he had to spend the night in jail. There must be more to it than just having the brass knuckles, right? Those funky knuckles.
You go straight to hell.
Would you like to take that back?
I mean, come on.
Look.
Low-hanging fruit.
How could you be doing a story about brass knuckles and not make a Beastie Boys reference? How could you not?
Take that back?
I'm only human, you guys.
Right? Mm-hmm.
You think it was too easy?
Yeah. Yes.
We were all thinking it's a wide.
Right, and none of us said it except for you.
All right. I take your point. I'll take it back.
All right. Next up is me. Mm-hmm. Dave, the King of Mexico, is describing a scene of a whole bunch of people skiing in an accident.
These skiers are being ejected. These chairlifts.
Yeah.
And it's just a pile of chairlifts start building up. People are getting tossed around. They're jumping off. And it's insane to see. And I don't know what I would do in that situation.
Would you say they're scare lifts?
Oh, my file. That. He just got filed.
He knew it.
Kevin.
Would you like to take that back?
Look. My standing rule is I take everything back.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But?
For me,
you're pretty proud of that, aren't you?
Yeah.
Considering my inability to be funny, I'm all right with that.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. Yeah. I support it.
I'm all right with that.
And I'll, like, the kids agree.
And I'll tell you something else that I just realized while going through all of this. Allie likes all of them. If you listen to each clip, Allie will vouch for every single wordplay.
Oh, she's putterific.
She loves it so much. All right. Next is Beer Mug. Stryker was here. Beer Mug was here. He was on the red carpet for the Avengers. And Mugs, you ready?
I don't even remember this.
Oh, guys, I see Thanos himself, Mr. Josh Brolin. He is close and in the building. I don't know if...
All right, what do you think he does next? What do you think Mugs does next?
He's got to yell out to him, right?
I'm going to say, Stryker? He says, have you seen my shirt?
They see me brolin'. They hatin'.
Oh,
no one's going to catch Thanos riding dirty.
I hate it so much.
You should hate it.
I don't.
What do you mean you don't hate it?
I hate it.
Come on.
I like it, Kevin.
Would you like to take that back?
Well, we're split. Allie liked it. Stryker liked it.
Absolutely not.
Oh, good for you.
Absolutely not.
You understand the question, though, right?
Absolutely, I do, and I will absolutely not take that back.
I would like to defend Beer Mug's comedy and his decision to not take it back.
Very impressive. Ridiculous.
Thank you, Bean.
Dare take it back.
Thank you.
All right, Allie is next. We're talking about a guy who got tased 10 times. Can you not be affected by a taser?
I think if you're on
PCP or something,
drugs, it doesn't affect you as much. But after, I would think, 3, 4, 5, you're going to maybe get knocked down a little bit.
10 times they tased the guy.
Get up again. Sorry.
Put it in the file. Would you like to take
that back? Yeah, that's dumb. Real dumb. And you should be ashamed, young lady. I will take that back.
That's fantastic news.
Yes.
All right, Allie is next.
Oh.
Now, I don't know how to handle this, but if she apologizes in the clip, Bean, and says she takes it back in the clip, should we not play it? Because I feel like we should give her another chance.
I might have changed my mind.
Right. Does it stand or does it not stand?
Okay.
Yeah, let's see how she feels after the fact.
Sure. All right. Bean is describing a superintendent who's pooping on a rival school's field.
But he leads a rival school district in New Jersey.
He's a superintendent.
A superintendent of the Kenilworth School District.
He's a pooperintendent.
He...
Sorry. I take it back. Would you like to take that back? No.
What?
I will not take that back.
Can you change your mind?
He's a pooperintendent. That's amazing.
You can change your mind when you said on the tape you have taken it back?
Am I changing my mind? Do you hear it? Would you like to take that back? No. Thank you, though.
Bean continues the same story.
Uh-huh.
We're back to Allie again.
Oh, wow. God.
This guy has a PhD in educational administration. He has a master's degree from Rutgers.
More like PhD in Butgers, right? Who's with me?
We're going to have to file that too. To step out. I'm sorry.
He's going to have to do one whole session just on this story. Would you like to
take that back? PhD in Butkers.
In Butkers.
Listen to the joy it's still bringing. Absolutely not.
What? No, you can't take that back. No,
give me a thumbs up or thumbs down. I can't understand what you're saying. You'll not take it back.
Kevin, it's Butkers.
Right.
PhD in Butkers. Come on now.
I think PhD you would have taken back, but Butkers really brought it home.
Thank you.
All right, and finally me.
Oh.
In the same story.
Are you kidding me? Since his arrest, he is on a paid leave of
absence. A pooed leave of absence, am I right?
Okay, yes, why don't you, Kevin, you're right.
Why don't you stop, too, by the way? Would you like to take that
back? Now, in context of Allie made a bad pun and then made a good one, I was just playing along.
Yeah, you were.
I feel pretty good about that. I'm not taking that back.
Good.
Look at this. How about
Agreed.
What
so none of us learn anything from our mistakes.
That's correct.
I don't think it's an exaggeration to say a superstar musical artist on the show just after 8 a.m. world premiering a brand new song here on K-Rock. It's very exciting. You're with me, right, Allie?
No. Yes.
It's going to be great. And Bob Saget next hour as well. First, though, Beer Mug.
Good morning, everybody.
How you feeling?
My voice is back to normal.
You were pretty rough yesterday. A lot of people were weighing in with what's going on with Mugs today.
Some guy said I sounded like Billy Bob Thornton in Sling Blade.
Oh, I like
you did a little bit. Well, one of the most anticipated films of the summer is the Ant-Man and the Wasp movie, which comes out everywhere next Friday. Paul Rudd, Evangeline Lilly, Michael Pena, Walter Goggins, Bobby Cannavale. The list goes on and on and on. And you got to do one of those fancy red carpet world premieres in Hollywood recently. How did it go?
Yeah, they shut down the entire Hollywood Boulevard area, and I mean, there's media outlets from all over the world, and I think I did okay. We were put at the end of the line where they normally put us radio people,
right?
So. You know,
a lot of times people won't stop in to talk to you, but you don't let that stop you from delivering. Here's Muggs at the beginning of the Ant-Man and the Wasp red carpet premiere. Let's see how far we get into the tape before he starts complaining about something.
What's going on, you guys? Beer Mug here at the world. What's up, you guys? Beer Mug here at the world premiere of Ant-Man and the. What's up, you guys? Beer Mug here. I'm tired, dude. 5 a.m.
What's up, you guys? Beer Mug here at the world premiere of Ant-Man and the Wasp in Hollywood, California. What's up, you guys? Beer Mug here at the world premiere of Ant-Man and the Wasp in a press tent that's very hot. I hope I don't start sweating on all the celebrities that stop and talk to me. If they do, stop and talk in the first place.
Okay.
So that one was loaded.
Yeah. Bugs is tired.
Uh-huh.
He's hot.
Right.
He's cranky. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't think anybody's going to stop and talk to him, so he's questioning his existence at this point. He's like, why am I even here? He hasn't done the first interview yet, and he's miserable.
Just wanted to go home.
All right, here's a little look into how horny Muggs is also that night, on top of everything else.
Oh, my God, Sean. Oh, my God. Are you seeing this girl in this Marvin the Martian midriff here? You know, Bugs Bunny used to be my favorite character, but now I might have to say it's Marvin the Martian. The midriff.
He is really...
Is it a human?
Yeah. It's a very attractive female wearing a Marvin the Martian shirt midriff.
Okay, all right. I thought it was someone dressed as Marvin the Martian.
Oh, that too. I saw one of those.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
I mean, you could practically... I'm surprised Muggs could talk with his tongue hanging out onto the ground during that clip. Yeah. That's the horniest I've ever heard Muggs. Well, the beautiful thing about these premieres is not only do the stars of the film show up, but other stars show up too. And you can imagine how happy Beer Mug was to see the great David Hasselhoff walk by.
David, the Hoff loves to rock. I was too late. He heard me, but that came to me. He should have been looking at me.
I don't think you were pleased with your delivery on that one. I don't think you brought it necessarily.
I don't think he loves to rock anymore.
It's possible he doesn't. All right. Now, One of the unsung heroes of these Marvel superhero movies are the stunt doubles. Stunt doubles. And the stunt woman for Evangeline Lilly is a beautiful young actress named Ingrid Kleinig. Although Muggs was excited to see her, it was a strangely sexual question he asked her.
What happens when you go down?
That's exactly why there's two of us. And when you have two units shooting simultaneously, we can't be in two places at once.
I mean, she let that slide, man.
Wow, I didn't even catch that when I was interviewing her.
Wow.
Between going down in two units, I thought, wow.
Shooting simultaneously.
Sign me up.
Muggs is still pretty worked up from Marvin the Martian, I think.
Wow.
He is also, as he mentioned earlier, it's very hot and he's very thirsty.
Wow. My mouth and my throat feel like the Sahara. The only time I didn't bring any liquid with me. I will drink the sweat coming off my forehead. That's how thirsty I am right now.
Okay, now why? I mean, why would you? How do you? great news, you guys. David Hasselhoff is back on the red carpet.
Roll Hoff. Are there any rooms at the Marriott? The Hoff loves to rock. I guess he doesn't love to rock anymore. Ever since we turned him down for those Coachella tickets.
Muggs is really just talking to himself at this point. All right, now here's an actual interesting person on the red carpet. Muggs is having a little trouble with access at Ant-Man, but Christoph Beck, who is a very acclaimed composer, he does the music for the Ant-Man movie. Did the last one as well. Not the greatest question Muggs has ever asked.
What's your main inspiration from, I guess, outside everyday environmental factors? How do you sit down and go, I have to be inspired, a score that's supposed to emotionally move people?
You know, those...
Outside those, environmental
I
factors?
I don't know what I was asking there.
Neither did he. I think he kept on walking. How about Michelle Pfeiffer, you guys? Big star, right?
Yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer, ladies and gentlemen. Man.
All right. That's what he said.
I think I froze, actually. I was so starstruck.
Can I interest you in Academy Award winner Michael Douglas?
Yes, please.
Michael Douglas. There goes Michael. Dr. Hank Pym. Uh-oh, he's yelling at somebody.
I mean, you're not bringing us in-depth interviews.
Look, it's hard, man. They just keep walking when they see us, you know?
But do you feel like singing Michael Douglas is going to bring him over?
It might.
Okay, all right. How about Ant-Man himself, you guys? How about Paul Rudd, huh?
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be fun.
There goes Paul. Paul. Five for four, Paul.
You are just
nope.
You're punch drunk.
Oh man, the heat in the tent was definitely starting to get to me.
You need to get home and get some sleep. Now, Evangeline Lilly apparently looked fantastic on the red carpet, Muggs.
Yeah. And my horny self couldn't contain myself.
Well said.
Well said.
Evangeline, you're looking beautiful. I wish I could fit into that dress. I made her smile and stick her tongue out at me. That means that was a great interview, I think.
Okay, the bar has been lowered. Wow. I'll tell you that.
Oh, wow.
That interview, by the way.
What did you mean by, I wish I could fit in that dress?
Let's just leave that up to your imagination.
Well, because it sounds like
makes no sense.
It sounds like you want to wear
it. You want to wear the dress.
With her. You weren't talking about getting in her dress. You were talking about how you wanted to be in the dress.
Maybe I did. Maybe I did.
All right, so here's what Muggs does when he realizes he's come up empty with the interviews is he just decides he's going to do his own interviews. He's just going to pretend because he had all these great questions planned out. He didn't get a chance to talk to the folks, so he's just going to do the interview as if they were in front of him.
I got my cash sheet, and I'm going to conduct my own interviews and kind of act out how the interviews would have gone. Too many interviews. I said the word too many interviews during the time. I'm not focusing, Sean. I'm really tired. I am really tired. Make sure you cut most of this out so Omar doesn't get a hold of it.
We sure will.
Okay? Seriously, because these are bad.
They are.
All right, you guys, as you saw, most of the big stars of the movie walked right by us, and we weren't being... I'm trying to do a goddamn piece here, and they're... God damn it.
Now he's yelling at the people who actually are working at their premiere, who are doing their job because they're interfering with his fake job of doing interviews that didn't happen. But he does try one more time.
Hey, it's Paul Rudd. Paul, tell me what it was like playing Ant-Man. It was cool. Oh, thank you, Paul. Hey, Michael, tell me what it was like playing Dr. Hank Pym. I'm Michael Douglas.
What does that mean?
Michelle, I loved you in Scarface. What the f***? This is bad. Let's cut all this out.
Nope.
I just want to go home.
All right. Before Muggs goes home, he does his big finale, the sign-off from the Ant-Man and the Wasp red carpet premiere.
Well, I think it was a success here at the Ant-Man and the Wasp world premiere. Well, so there you have it. I think it was a pretty big success. I got all the big stars of the movie. Everybody I talked to. I love this.
He did love it. You can tell there was nothing but joy going through Muggs' mind. Great job, Muggs. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
They come to you guys and they say, hey, we're from the city and we're going to change the name of your street to Dick Street.
Oh, yes.
We just want to let you know that it's going to be Dick Street. Are you down with that or do you throw a hissy fit like the people in this neighborhood in New Jersey?
No, I celebrate it.
Yeah, I
do. Like it, huh?
I make t-shirts, hats. Come join me on Dick Street.
What's going on is Ellsworth Street is a very popular and long street in New Jersey, and there's just a little portion of it, three blocks of it, that is named Dick Street for some reason. You know, lots of towns have weird things with roads and how they get named over the years and whatnot. So the city has looked into it, and they've decided that it makes it difficult for emergency service personnel to always know where they're going when they're called because the whole thing is Ellsworth, except for this tiny little Dick Street. It's kind of hard to find. So they've decided they're going to change the part that's Dick Street to Ellsworth so it's all consistent.
That makes sense.
Kind of makes sense.
Sure.
And they probably wouldn't have a problem with it if it weren't Dick Street.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the report where they went into the neighborhood to Channel 4 New York to talk to some of the people who live on what is now Ellsworth and will soon be Dick Street.
It definitely is confusing. I'm standing right now on Ellsworth Street, but if I cross Howard Avenue here, this now turns into Dick Street. So the homeowners on Ellsworth are struggling now with changing the name of their street, but they want to know if they can change it to something other than Dick Street.
By the way, I want to say I'm personally offended as a man who used the radio name Dick Street for many years in the 80s, and I had no problems with it.
Good name.
Now all of a sudden it's a bad thing?
People laugh when they think of Dick Street.
Living on a street that's the butt of jokes isn't what Kenneth Roman wants.
Not exactly a good name for a street, so they can name it anything they want, you know.
I need every interview to be him.
Except for Dick Street.
Roman and five of his neighbors live on a one-block section of Ellsworth Street in Clifton, about half a mile away from the rest of Ellsworth. City leaders have proposed changing the name of this section of Ellsworth to Dick Street to make it easier to find in an emergency.
By the way, in 2017, I mean, I guess people are people and people love to have a laugh, but is Dick Street still something that people are going to make fun of, or we're no more mature now than we would have been 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago?
Dick Street's always going to be
funny. It's always going to be funny.
It's always going to be
funny. Has changed. Okay,
there's no way we ever grow out of that as humans, right?
No.
Okay.
I hope not.
I don't like it.
Why not?
Because it's changed the address plus the name.
Rana worries that changing his home address on his driver's license and all of his paperwork will be a huge headache.
Okay, now... That's sort of legitimate, right?
Absolutely, sure.
It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Okay.
But plus, he thinks switching his home address from Ellsworth Street to what he calls a less than flattering street name will make his property value go down.
Now, is that true?
Come on.
In other words, if he goes to sell his house and the next family that comes goes, oh, great neighborhood, great schools, I love this house.
Yeah, great Ooh. Open concept.
Ooh, but Dick Street. Do we want to live on Dick Street?
I mean,
is it possible that there are people who would pass on that property just because of the street that it's on?
I think that's a very small percentage.
I would think, but... But who knows, right? I mean, there could be some people who just wouldn't. So I don't know if that'll fly or not.
So I don't want to screw up my life.
Turns out people...
I don't want to screw up my life, he says.
Really changing people.
He may be overreacting, by the way, to screwing up his life if they change his street name.
Turns out people have had reservations about the street address for decades. Samantha Trella's grandfather, Lou, was the developer who built most of the homes in this neighborhood. But when it came time to build his own home at the corner of Howard and Dick in 1955...
The story goes that my grandmother did not want a Dick Street address, and so... We have a Howard Ave address.
John Sedlak, seen here with his pet falcon.
All right.
This everything.
This neighborhood. I now need to move to Dick Street. I want to talk to that guy that they interviewed first.
Yes.
I want to talk to this guy with his pet falcon. What is happening in this neighborhood in New Jersey? Let's all go to Clifton, you guys.
I'm in.
John Sedlak, seen here with his pet falcon, says living on this street isn't as embarrassing as everyone thinks.
That's just the weirdest thing to just randomly mention in a news report. How about, sir, could you put the falcon down so we can talk to you?
Absolutely not.
Why does the falcon have to be a part of this?
Because this. He has thoughts, too.
I know
too.
People that are named Dick, or their name's Rich and they're called Dick, so...
There is a city council meeting here.
Great soundbite. That was definitely worth keeping in.
I know people named Richard or Dick, so.
So his.
That's his contribution.
Is the unfinished remark so it's cool?
So, you know.
Embarrassing as everyone thinks.
Well, I know people that are named Dick, or their name's Richard and they're called Dick, so.
There is a city council meeting here in Clifton next week where they will vote on this issue. It's also worth pointing out that we used a GPS to get here to Ellsworth Street today. It did guide us to the right spot, and we did not get lost.
Yeah, GPS.
Clifton,
okay,
New Jersey. I'm Jen Maxfield, News 4 New York.
Okay, if the GPS got her there fine, right. Then doesn't emergency services, wouldn't they be using GPS too?
And you would think the most updated, for sure.
Yeah, you would think they would have whatever's necessary. I don't know.
We need to go back to the guy with the falcon.
Yeah. We really do. So. And we got to go to Clifton, New Jersey, apparently. That's all there is. Dick Street forever.
Whitney Cummings just walked in dressed like Britney Spears.
Hey, Ted.
Yes, looks so good, too. But I didn't know why at first.
You don't say that every day. I didn't know why at first either. I was like, oh, she's really committing to this bit.
Do you guys follow Britney Spears currently on social media?
No,
her
do not.
Her body is banging. It is, but so is her... confused choices. So are
there's
they.
Lot,
they're also banging.
On.
But I can't tell. Is it a joke? Is she drunk? Or am I just doing
You mean
everything
on her
wrong?
Social media?
Yeah. She like does these like fashion show walks down
her long hallway.
Down her long hallway for the camera.
Yeah.
It sort of seems like she's a goofy person. Is it goofy or is she something more?
Have you taken Xanax before?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't say. That's going to get us. That's going to get us. I just know when I see people having too much fun on social media, I'm like, I have to know what they like, what their cocktail is.
Right.
Because
right.
I want that kind
sober.
Of self-esteem.
Yeah.
I need that.
That's
I feel like
alleged.
I'm gonna,
that is alleged.
That is
right?
alleged. I know. Please don't sue me.
And I think she's been kind of babied and pampered for the last
that's
10 or 12
true.
Years. And maybe she doesn't know what the hell is going on.
You get infantilized.
Yeah, she's
too
robotic.
Famous.
Like, get to the concert at this time. Then we'll take you home. Then you're going to do a video.
That's
and then
her whole life.
This.
I mean, that's been her whole life, though.
Right.
Too.
Yeah, it's just like there's a certain point, yeah, where she just kind of plays dress up. I think
right.
when you don't have a childhood, and you know, she was famous when she was a kid, you then become an adult and you're like, I'm going to have my childhood now.
Yeah.
It's never too late.
Aww.
And that never goes well. You didn't bring your dogs, by the way.
I didn't bring my dogs.
It's National
What's
Pet
up?
Day.
Because I took an Uber and I want to have a high rating.
Do Ubers not
no,
let you take a dog?
I learned that I have a low Uber rating.
Why do you
I
have a low Uber
God,
rating?
I think it's because I tell them which is a better route than Waze, and guys don't like being told what to do by shrill women.
even if it's a quicker way to go?
Even if it's quick. No, yeah. I think they'd rather go the longer way and not be told what to do, because I'm just
okay.
like, okay, take a left here and this is the quicker way.
So
and,
now what do that you have a lower rating? You have to suffer with a low rating and keep doing it?
I have to wear that Britney Spears costume every time I get
but
into
I'm saying
the car.
You keep giving them directions, or are you going to try and get your rating up a little
I
bit
I will not change my ways.
Okay.
I'm too stubborn for that, but I do feel like bringing dogs and stuff, farting dogs, you know.
Making them stop at 7-Eleven for a red Slurpee that's overflowing on the very top.
Not helpful
no.
in the white upholstery.
Do you know what your rating is, the actual number?
I think it's like 2.5.
No,
I swear to God.
No.
I know I have a low Uber rating because I went on a date with a guy that I met on a dating app, and we got an Uber, and he's like, oh, let me see your Uber rating. And I was like, there's just, I didn't, and I was like, sure, look at it. Like,
I don't even
like,
know where it is. How
oh, you
find
can look it up
can...
and they'll email it to
oh,
you.
Oh, you can. Okay.
Yeah, and he found it on either my phone or he asked the Uber driver for it. It was like kind of a flirty joke.
Right.
And we were like, oh, what if I had a low rating? How weird would that be? And he was like, you have like a 2. And it truly got weird. And I literally, I heard from him again like 4 months later.
Did
like,
that ruin the night?
About like advice about like where to go on a vacation. It was not like, can I see you again? And it really did kill the vibe.
Did he ghost you after he found out you had a low
yes,
Uber?
Yes,
what?
Basically. Yeah,
that's insane.
Basically. And so, because, yeah, and I'm definitely very, I do phone calls. Maybe they just, it's generally just my personality rating because my.
You do phone calls, you mean while you're in the Uber?
Yes, they
okay.
hear everything.
But you're not there to entertain the driver, even though the driver wants to tell you everything he does other than Uber. I have a real estate company.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be an actor.
Yeah.
I also take care of old people.
Yeah.
And I foster dogs.
And
you're trying to get your business done in the back
yeah,
seat.
I mean, they're a DJ. Also,
right, exactly. Oh, I've driven you before.
Don't
then.
Forget about that.
Yes.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a lot. I need to. We need to do something about all the candy. Does anyone eat candy from the Ubers?
I do.
What?
100%. I always
what?
Eat the butter. If
I do
butter
too,
scotch.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Really?
If
yeah.
they're offering me the candy, I'm
but
taking the
here's
candy.
Here's the problem.
Isn't the only thing we learn from our parents? Don't talk to strangers.
Yes.
Don't get in a car.
Yes.
And don't eat a stranger's candy.
No,
most of the time,
straight up murder.
Most of the time, it's nasty. Most of the time,
well, it's
it is.
Always like off-brand.
But I always hope. There's always hope. Maybe the next Uber I get
are you,
in.
Are you a big butterscotch guy?
I mean, I like candy.
I do too.
So if it's there.
The scary thing, Whitney, though,
is?
So when they have the waters, this has happened 3 times. I've twisted the top.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't sealed. So they
oh,
were filling up the
no.
water with some other thing. Like, have a free water.
Cyanide.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I don't want this water. It's already open. So I called them out each time on
so
it.
So crazy.
Now you're going to get a low rating.
Here's
now what
else?
Happens if you get a low rating? They're not. Will they
you
not
stay
pick
single
you up?
Forever.
I'm, no, will they not pick
no, what they do now is they pair low passengers with low drivers.
Oh.
Low-rated drivers
oh,
with low
no.
passengers.
So it could take way longer for you to get an Uber if you have a lower rating?
Look, I deserve it, to be honest. I'm a monster. Can you imagine driving with me in the backseat of it? What a nightmare it would be.
I mean, you are loud.
Yeah. No, I that's when I do like my phone calls.
Right.
And if you don't know what I do for a living, you probably think I'm a monster because I'm just like, tell him to do this and he can't do that. They probably just think I'm talking to like my husband, but I'm talking to like employees, but I probably sound very
I want to volunteer my driving you around sometime.
Please.
Because, at least for this week and next week.
I have to get home after this.
I'm done at 10 a.m. I can drive. I'll wear a hat, maybe even a suit, offer you no candy. There's no ratings. I'll just drive you around the place.
I like this. The way that you just made a steering wheel motion, gesture, you guys, yeah. It wasn't that. It was like I'm worried about how you drive based on that my name in general.
She doesn't want you as an Uber driver.
I've had 3 vodka shots today, so it was really wobbly. That's what's going on.
Well, Whitney Cummings is here because she's playing at Irvine Improv. 5 shows this weekend, 2 Friday night, 2 Saturday
night.
Wait,
next weekend, I think. If it's this weekend, we've got a big problem.
It is next weekend.
Next weekend.
Oh, thank God.
That's my bad. Sorry. Yes.
No,
next
no,
weekend,
please.
4:20.
I'm doing
Friday,
lots of local LA. I'm doing Brea. I'm doing Oxnard. I'm doing Ontario. I'm doing all of them because I refuse to leave California. I refuse to get on a plane to work on my new hour special. So I'm going to do the Southern California comedy
and
tour.
And that's it, really.
Yeah, basically San Diego. I'm doing all
so
of them.
So all these shows locally you're building for a 1-hour special,
yeah.
But it's material that you're confident with going in then to these shows?
I wouldn't say confident. I mean, has any comedian ever been confident about
right.
anything? Yes, I'm basically building the new Netflix special. And I was supposed to do it like 6-7 months ago, but I started doing Roseanne and I did the book and I did a movie and I was just sort of all over the place. So I haven't had a chance to really lock it in. So now I just want to run it and make sure it's good.
Now, if people come to the early show next Friday and then they stay for the late show, same thing, different material? Or does that ever happen?
Here's what I'm doing because I'm building it out right now. Uh-huh. So it's like you probably will see 2 different shows, but I'm also testing out the order. Like if you've ever seen a comic, like, you know, it's like you try one thing here and I'm like, maybe if I put this 30 minutes in or whatever. But weird tidbit. If you guys really want to see something historic, I'm doing ayahuasca on Tuesday.
Are you going to like live stream
Do
it?
You think I don't think so.
I would watch
Should
that
I?
All day.
But is that going to, can I do stand up 3
on
days
Friday?
Later?
Oh, sure.
You
yeah,
Really? I've never done it before.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
I would think
sure?
so. I wouldn't guarantee her.
I would. I mean, it's not your first trip around the world, right?
What is that? No, I've never done it.
No, you've done other. You've done mushrooms. You've done.
When I was 14 and in a bad relationship.
Okay.
Okay. So maybe
the
don't.
The only thing I will say is there might be things brought up.
Like
there might
what?
Be like past things, and you might get so emotional, and it might take a couple days to really work through that.
That doesn't
really?
Sound fun.
No,
at all.
It's awesome.
Do you guys
want awesome.
To come to the Irvine Improv and watch me cry?
Just sitting on the stage, sobbing,
just in fetal position. Wait, so does it brings up old pain? See, I don't know.
I don't know so much pain sometimes.
Yeah,
but
who wants
but
that?
It,
why is that good?
Great question.
It unlocks a lot.
Unlocks a lot.
Yeah.
So you had. Pain that you didn't realize you have, and now
yeah,
it goes...
you might be suppressing a bunch of stuff that maybe you just don't let yourself deal
I'd
with.
I'd say maybe give yourself more than a couple days.
I was going to say, because last time I did Irvine Improv, I had just frozen my eggs.
Right.
3 days prior, and I was like, it'll be fine. They gave me some painkillers, and then I couldn't walk, and I had to cancel the show.
Oh, man.
You came in the next day here.
That's right.
Yes,
that's
I totally
right.
remember. And, you're like, a little bit of pain. I'm like, that's not like
I was
a
on...
just in and out situation.
No. I literally was in fetal position, could not walk.
Oh, man.
A couple days later. And then I remember I went to
So you came in and lied to our audience is what we're saying
yes,
here.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, right. Yes. So sorry about that, guys. I went into the Irvine Improv, I remember, a couple days later because I was in so much pain I had to reschedule, and I went in. And this is just so funny about how like the game of telephone happens, and I went and the manager ran up to me and he goes, I'm so sorry, I heard you had your ovaries removed. I was like, is that what you think it is? Okay, so yeah, I feel like this is going to turn into a weird rumor. Okay, so the shows will be interesting is what you're saying.
So, right? Yeah.
All right, Whitney Cummings is here.
I go to the early Friday show.
Whitney Cummings is here. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. Whitney Cummings is in the studio with us.
Thank you guys for having me.
You're welcome. Always happy to have you.
There's a revival of Roseanne.
What?
Yes, which is doing great. And everyone is watching it,
Thank
but
you.
Many people may not know when it comes to the writing and the producing of the show and the revival. You're like a whole backbone to this operation.
That just means you don't follow me on Instagram. And how dare you?
How did this
it's
happen
It's so funny.
For
like
you?
When people say, they're like, what have you been up to? And you're just like, you don't follow me. That's basically someone's way of saying they don't follow you on social media. Busted. How did it happen?
Yeah.
I'd always been a super big fan of the show growing up. And I, you know, when... I idea was going to, that it was going to come back. I was sort of trying to figure out what I was going to do post this election thing. And I think a lot of people were very disorganized mentally. And I was going to these like meetings with women of like, what are we going to do? Are we going to raise money for Planned Parenthood? Like everyone was, and I was like, you know what? I think my skill is to write shows. And that's what I think. So when Roseanne came around, it was like, okay, great. She's going to vote for Trump. Maybe this is a way to contribute to the conversation or sort of the healing process.
I've heard you talk about this in that instead of just blasting the other side to try and understand maybe why people
because the other way didn't work. Yeah. Blasting the other side doesn't work.
That's what I hate about politics. It's just it brings out the worst in both sides.
That's exactly right. Nightmare. And it becomes like, you know, Redskins versus Cowboy. It just becomes like a team sport, you know. And I think that to malign them without understanding anything about their circumstances is a mistake, or at least it wasn't working. And so I thought that who better to do this than the Connor family, because we already love them and we know them. And I feel like if it had been a new cast of a bunch of actors, we probably would not have been as receptive. And and I wanted to see that darn couch and to get an Instagram photo on the couch. That's why I did it. I did it to get an Instagram photo on the couch.
Which we didn't see. So
which,
apparently.
How dare you?
Have they all been in touch since Roseanne ended
ago? It was so interesting because it feels like they had the perfect amount of time apart to come back and have all this like amazing chemistry, but they were still in touch like a family, you know? So they were all in touch, but you know, Rosie lives in Hawaii and you know, everyone's kind of all over the place, and Lori Metcalf just will not stop winning awards and she's doing plays, you know, everyone's so busy. And, but yeah, when they came back together, it was like, I was crying. I was like, it was like, felt like my family reunion. But it was, pretty, their chemistry is unbelievable.
What's John Goodman like?
John Goodman,
love watching him and everything he's in.
John Goodman, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Because these are going out.
Okay.
Okay. So John Goodman, realized that I have a crush on him.
Okay. Same.
No, it was weird because I was always so obsessed with him growing up, obviously. And then when I had worked with him a couple years ago on something.
Mm-hmm.
And then this time around, I was like, oh, I'm just in love with you. And I got so nervous around John Goodman that I couldn't stop lying to him.
What do you mean lying?
Because I would just get nervous.
Right.
And there was this one week where, because he's very intense, you know. I mean, he's a actor,
right?
Like working on the he's looking, walking around the set and figuring out what he's gonna do, and he's like so I never want to bother him, and he's such a legend. And one day he was just like, hey, how was your weekend? And I was like, totally, I wasn't prepared, and I got super flustered and nervous, and I was like, hey, it was good. I was on my book tour, and I was in New York and in Florida and St. Louis
And you were thinking to yourself, he's already bored with what I'm saying.
Already bored, so I'm just trying to be interesting. And he goes, you were in St. Louis? I'm from St. Louis. Where did you stay? And I realized in that moment I had not been to St. Louis. And I was just panicking. And he was like, where did you perform? And it was too late. And so I was like, it was at the Pantheon Theater. Which sounds like a theater.
Sure.
And he's like, where's that? And I was like, and then I literally start getting annoyed at him because I'm like, oh,
stop
on
pressing
Front
me.
Street. Like, I literally was like, and then he's like, Front Street. And he's like, where'd you stay? And I'm like, the Doubletree. He's like, there's a Doubletree now? And I'm
plus
like,
you're staying in a Doubletree?
I'm like making him feel bad. I'm making him feel
at
like.
At any point, did you just say, I'm lying? I wasn't.
Because literally, because in his head, he's like, God, I'm really gotten old. Like, he's feeling bad about it. And I miss my window to tell him, hey, I'm so in love with you that I can't stop lying to you. I'm a monster. So I hope he doesn't listen to your show.
I wanted to ask you a different question. I was listening yesterday to Kevin Pollak's chat show.
Really?
Yes, and you were on it.
He's the best.
And my daughter came in at the exact wrong time because it was time for dinner, and you had just said the words, I once performed stand-up in a staircase. And I was like, what? What? How is that? How would that even work?
Yeah.
And I had to turn it off and go to dinner, and I didn't have time. And I'm like, I'm going to have to ask you.
Finish your story, Kevin.
Staircase.
You know, comics, we could do corporate gigs sometimes. We do casino gigs. We could do college gigs. We do comedy in bowling alleys and on boats. And I mean, just the most horrific circumstances sometimes. And I got asked to do this corporate gig in Vegas for that CES convention.
Oh, the Consumer Electronics Show.
Yeah. So I'm like, great. Okay. This will pay some bills. And I go, and it's for some like computer company. I don't even know what it is. And I get up there, and it's a hotel room with like 14 people. They have nothing set up. There's no microphone. There's nothing.
And or did they know you were coming?
They did. They didn't know that they had hired me. I ambushed them. And I go in and there's like crudité. There's like wine. Everybody's getting wasted. And they're like, all right, are you ready to do your thing? And I was like, do you know what I was like, first of all, am I a stripper? If I am.
Yeah. I'm concerned that maybe they hired you. There's no pole.
Wow. So I'm like, okay. And then I didn't know where to do it because as a stand-up, you want to be a little bit above your audience. And so I just stood on this staircase while they sat on a couch and I didn't even have a microphone. It was just so.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
There's just no limit to the humiliation of a comedian.
And
you know?
14 people. That has
literally
to be
14 people, half of which were sitting on a couch that was facing away from me. And they were swiveling back to look at me. And they'd be like, they would look back at me and laugh and then look forward for the setup and look back for the punchline. They were like getting like, God, it was so embarrassing. But it's like,
that's worse than I thought.
Yeah, it's like, and comedians were always being put in these completely insane situations. I did a show recently. I was on the road, and in the front row, a guy had a service cat that was a hairless service cat. Mm-hmm. So for an hour, I'm like, how am I supposed to focus? This like Dr. Evil. He's literally holding a hairless cat and just like petting its wrinkles. And I was just this is the weirdest job. What am I doing?
Well, if you want to see Whitney, she's going to be live next Friday, 4:20 at 7:30 and 9:30, and then Saturday, the 21st at 7 and 9:30, and then Sunday night at 7 p.m. We always love having you.
You guys are the best. Yes. I'm bummed I didn't get to do the comedy show this year. I'm determined to do it next year.
Next year we'll do it. All right.
I would love to.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So this past Monday morning, Beer Mug came in. And usually when we come in a Monday, we have to sort of take stock of what we need to rebuild.
Right.
I don't know what happens over the weekend, but Chip comes in. She has to like rebuild all the equipment for some reason. It's all been destroyed. I don't know what goes on over the weekends here.
Computers are turned off. Yes. Furniture is stacked up at the side of the room. Sometimes there's a stray puppy. It's just we have no idea what goes on the weekend here.
And that's every Monday. Past Monday, Muggs comes in and he goes, Kevin, come here. Look at this. And he points at the floor and there's a giant throw up stain on the floor of the phone op room, which is a very, very small room.
And this is the room where Beer Mug and our friend Ruben answer the phones for the Kevin and Bean show this morning. They sit there, and it's like the size of a closet is what it is.
And there's a huge throw-up stain and a little air freshener. And you can sort of tell that somebody half-heartedly tried to clean it up.
Right.
Because they were wiping it, and half of it probably came up. The other half was forced into the carpet.
Oh, just ground in puke. Yes. Okay.
So then we said, what's going on?
Vomit.
Right.
Why?
Yeah.
Who? How?
Just
vomit.
Barf City.
Right. Why leave it there? What's happening on the weekend?
Right.
And Chip said, I came in Saturday. There was a wedding here.
What?
Yes. You know whose wedding it was?
Who?
Karina.
Karina!
Sweet Karina?
In HR.
Why is she puking everywhere?
Right? That's my question. Karina?
Yes.
First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Who has a wedding at a radio station?
You know, someone who's broke and needs to get every penny's worth.
Where did they actually hold the service, Karina?
At the Sound Space.
Nice.
Oh, okay. Right. And how many people do you have?
About 70, probably.
Okay, and did you have catered? Was it food and drinks provided?
There was a taco man, and we had an open bar of our own.
You did, huh?
I mean, Karina, I voted for you for Employee of the Month. I didn't see an invite.
I was wondering about that. How come we didn't find out about this wedding until after it happened when you sent out the company email?
It was very low-key. I couldn't invite everyone.
Right. Yeah, okay, you had 70 people there, but Allie, who voted for you for Employee of the Month, didn't make the cut of 70?
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Allie. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
I mean, how many relatives and friends do you have? Jeez.
You're right. Only the closest.
At what point did you drink too much and come over into our phone op room and throw up?
You know, I wish I could say it was me because, first of all, I'm also pregnant, so it would make sense that I'm.
But you just got married Saturday, Karina.
Yeah, I was.
She got pregnant already?
That was quick.
She works fast.
My husband is magical.
So you're saying that because at least then you would have been able to drink at your own reception,
right.
So it wasn't you. We could actually take you off the list,
okay.
Right?
Wait a minute. Hold on. She's pregnant.
Uh-huh.
She's still going to throw up.
That's
pregnant,
true.
Pregnant ladies vomit.
Right?
But I left that behind in the first trimester, so it wasn't me.
Okay, it wasn't
all
you.
Right.
All right. right.
Now, what? So you say about 70 people. Was there a lot of drinking going on? Did it really get out of control?
I can answer that. Yes.
Well, we know it did for one person, but let me just find out in general. I mean, did it seem like it was? Were people partying pretty hard? And an open bar is usually an invitation to overdo.
Well, we did run out of beer, so you know, it wasn't like we were going crazy.
Okay. You should have come in the phone op room. You could have taken it off the carpet.
Oh, Kevin. Now, at what point did security get so lax that people were allowed to wander away from the sound space and
that's
just
what
go?
I'm saying.
Yes, that's what we're saying.
What are you talking about? That's what you're saying.
I was too busy trying to make sure my wedding was going great. I wasn't worried about security at that time.
What? So people could just wander off into the radio station.
I guess so. There was a curtain, you know, but nothing's going to stop people that are curious and never been to K-Rock before. And
so somebody's drunk, and they wander in there, and they literally... I mean, there's a bathroom 20 feet away, maybe.
Right.
You just make it to the bathroom.
Yeah, better option. Better option for vomit. Now, we were told that it... I don't know how Dave got this information, but he's under the impression that it was somebody who was giving somebody else a tour, and maybe somebody had asked, hey, where do the DJs work or something like that. But you never heard back from any of your guests. Oh, by the way, I Ralphed in the hallway, right?
Well, no. Okay, so someone comes up to me, and they say... Hey, look at this picture. I'm giving my son a tour, and we're here in the studio or whatever. And I'm like, first of all, that's not the studio, but okay. And he shows me the picture. I'm like, cute. Okay, I'm kind of upset that they wandered off. And I'm like, what? Okay. And he tells me, but unfortunately, my son just threw up in there. And I'm like, no, you're kidding. I honestly thought he was joking when he was telling me. I didn't believe him.
Could I butt in just for a second? It.
Yes.
That is an adult sized puke. There's no kid.
I didn't even go near the puke.
There's no kid that's doing that.
So I don't know. Maybe he's covering. He's like, son, if you cover for me this one time.
Right?
Oh, wow. I see.
I don't know.
That is not kid puke.
So why do you have any idea if you heard that story, why the family didn't go, hey, maybe it's on us to kind of clean it up and not leave it in a place of business over the weekend?
No, I told him. He told me, go ahead and charge us for whatever damages it is. And I said, no, did you clean it? And he said, well, no. And I said, can you clean it? I was like, we're not just going to leave it there.
So you knew who it was?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I know who to send the bill to.
And it sounds like Karina, even though it was the most special day of her whole life,
right?
Was,
why are you dealing with this?
Yeah, was dealing with it and was still trying to get them to do the right thing.
Right. No, and then I go tell my husband, I was like, this is your family that I'm marrying into, so you go take care of this.
Wow.
See, all, if you would have invited me, we could have left him off the list. Right?
Right.
Next time.
Okay. Oh. Karina.
Next time already. Wow.
It's been a rough week for Karina. It was not a good surprise for us on Monday. But they did clean it. I understand. They do I have this right? They did professional. They had a professional
bring
coming
in a
on
deep
Monday.
Cleaner. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's the guy's name?
His name is actually the same name as my husband, Mario Perez.
Same name as your husband.
Yeah. No.
Karina, is it your husband?
No, it wasn't my husband, I promise.
Karina, a little bit. Was it your husband?
Well, if you've never had the opportunity to enjoy the fresh smell of vomit after 48 hours, don't.
Thank you for your time, Karina. Congratulations.
I'm so embarrassed. Thank you so much.
What's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
I don't know how they continue to do it, but they continue to do it. America's most penis-shaped state is back in the news many times, so it's time for another round of What's Up with Florida. Kimberly Dunn, 35, accused of shooting her husband in the testicles, Kevin.
Oh, man, shooting her husband in the testicles.
Can you?
No.
Imagine.
No.
Is back in the news. This original story happened a few months ago. Her husband and her brother came to her Lake City home to pick up an air conditioning unit that she was trying to sell on Facebook. The couple was going through a divorce at the time, and I think there was a dispute over who really owned the air conditioner. She was trying to sell it for the money. He's like, no, that's my air conditioner. So they showed up. So Miss Dunn sat on the air conditioning unit to prevent the men from taking it. When her husband tried to get her off the AC unit, she tried to fend him off with a stun gun.
What's happening?
Then fired a round at her now ex-husband's testicles using a handgun. So she was loaded for bear when these two guys showed up for this air conditioner. She's sitting outside on the air conditioning unit with a stun gun in one hand and a handgun in the other.
And pointed it at his crotch. Shooting him isn't going to be enough. It's got to be there.
Her husband's brother was able to restrain the woman and take his brother to the hospital. Police say her husband picked up the gun and brought it with him to the hospital. So the reason she is back in the news is she failed to show up for court, and now she is facing an additional charge of contempt of court. That story is the most Florida story ever, isn't it?
Also, I'd like to know how much the air conditioner went for, because it's probably very, very small.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know what the medical outcome was from being shot in the balls.
It does seem like it might leave a mark.
Yes. Port Richey, Florida. This is a weird story. Look. I, like many people, am enormously frustrated and beyond that, terrified by the number of people that I see on the road who are driving while texting.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it wig you guys out when you encounter it all the time now?
It does seem like it's everywhere.
I hate it. Philip Macchio is an Uber driver. He's driving near State Road 52 on Friday when he noticed another driver texting while driving. So he decided he was going to show him what's up. He drove in front of the victim's vehicle. You'll find out why he's a victim in a moment. Tapped his brakes multiple times, trying to get this driver's attention, trying to say, hey, maybe don't text while you drive.
I'm not sure a brake check is the way to do that.
Mm-mm.
I'm not sure it is either. So the other driver, the texter, drove around Mr. Macchio in an attempt to pass him. Then the Uber driver pulled out a gun and pointed a firearm at her.
Shot her in the balls?
Didn't shoot her, no. Doesn't have balls, no.
Okay.
He had a black Glock 19 in his center console with him in his Uber, by the way. He said he was annoyed that the other driver was texting and driving, and that's what he was trying to do, was try to show her.
Look, if you're annoyed, you're allowed to pull a gun.
I think that's the law.
In Florida. I think that's the law in Florida.
It does sound like something that would be the law in Florida, doesn't it? So apparently he overreacted, I guess, is what I'm saying. They're both in the wrong here. Who's more in the wrong, though? The woman
him.
Who's driving and texting or the guy who pulls out the gun?
Him. He's causing something.
You'll never make it as a Florida judge. All right. There's nothing funny about underage sex. All right? So don't misinterpret me bringing up 64-year-old Paul Amato, who responded to a sting online. He thought he was meeting an underage girl for sex. It turned out to be the police in a sting operation. The only reason I bring this story up is there are two problems that I have with this news report you're about to hear 8 seconds of. One is, Mr. Amato, know your audience. If you're going after a teenager, maybe don't dress up as an Elvis impersonator to meet her in the parking lot of Lowe's.
No.
I don't know that there are going to be a lot of teenage girls that know who Elvis is or will be impressed by it.
Would you get naked?
And I also would like to say to the news anchor in this story, maybe this story of meeting a girl for underage sex is not the story to pull out the Elvis puns.
His desire for burning love with an underage girl is what investigators say led to the arrest of an Elvis impersonator in Brevard County.
Maybe leave the burning love comedy out of that report, okay?
I'm horny for you.
Okay. And finally...
Oh, yeah.
This is Largo, Florida. Police officers responded to a home on April the 8th after someone reported seeing a man smashing a mailbox. When they arrived at the home, they found William Timothy Anderson Thomas, who I think has too many names, by the way.
Agreed.
25 years old, on the property, shirtless, covered in dirt. According to the arrest affidavit, a trailer tire had been flattened, a window on the house was broken, and a mailbox, a real estate sign, and a garden angel were completely destroyed. Police say that Mr. Thomas admitted to willfully and maliciously damaging the property. He stated that the reason was he had listened to too much music and masturbated too much, so he felt like going out and destroying stuff.
What?
I would think that masturbating too much would put you in a very calm mood.
Perhaps maybe you need a nap.
I would think so, too. This
Maybe
is a very,
doing it wrong.
Right? This is a weird reaction. I'm troubled to think how he could be doing it wrong. He was arrested and charged with burglary and criminal mischief and booked into the Pinellas County Jail with a bond set at $7,000. We'll have plenty of time to properly masturbate. This has been What's Up with Florida. Florida.